Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
This Cold Black, it is new from Slipknot. You can find it on the new album on Tuesday, All Hope Is Gone. For the last hour, you've been listening to Inside Slipknot, All Hope Is Gone. Can't thank the guys enough for coming in here. Corey Taylor.
Yep, thank you for having us.
The Clown, Sean, thanks so much.
As always, thank you, Lou.
Well, you know, it's an amazing piece of work you guys got here, and once again, fiercely proud for you.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Good.
Especially
good.
That opener. It's just, yeah, it's, you know, it's,
that means
it's
a lot
dreadful
from you. Yeah.
And fulfilling, and it's just, it runs the gamut of emotions. You've been listening to Inside Slipknot, All Hope Is Gone on the Slipknot Radio Network. Good night, Englishtown, New Jersey, and Des Moines, Iowa, where we are recording right now. Wherever you are.
Good night, Canada.
All hope is gone.
This weekend has been brought to you by Oakland Community College. Final registration for OCC's fall semester is August 25th, 26th, and 27th. Visit oaklandcc.edu for enrollment information. OCC, get anywhere from here.
Right now it's time to sing out the jam!
Welcome to the award-winning Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit.
Hey, thank you very much. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan here with you. Hi, Jalene.
Hi, Peter.
313-298-WRIF is our phone number. This is a call-in talk show. That's why we gave you the number, although this number is used all the time for, like, requests here on WRIF.
298-9743.
Yeah, if you'd like to email us, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Actually, I got a couple of weird ones, which I answered during the week. Whew.
People? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for forwarding the weird ones. I actually get, they're highly entertaining.
They are. And, you know, these guys, they never, they don't write back.
But we have new names because of one of them.
Yeah, but maybe we'll talk about that later. All right, so the big stuff.
We don't get fooled again.
That's right, the convention time coming up. The Society of the Spectacle, they act, we watch passively. And I don't know, you, when I walked into the studio today, Jalene,
yeah.
You said to me, Joe Biden. And I said, it's actually, I can't even say what I actually said. I don't give a poop.
I know. The circus has just gotten more circus-like.
Yeah, and, I should have this up here on the screen. I was looking at all the stories. I mean, it truly is the society, the spectacle. Let me see if we can get this up here. Ah, damn, where is this all? Every single item is about the convention. Clinton to release delegates to Obama, which means they can vote for them. GOP opens war room at Democratic convention for Obama. Improbable path to the Dem nomination. McCain's campaign, nourished by humble pie, whatever the hell that means. Netroots push back against mainstream media bias. Organized labor reunites to vote for Obama. And, of course, you have one of the most important stories at all about Joe Biden, the senator from Delaware.
Most importantly, he has had hair plugs.
Yeah.
I mean, really. You know, I like what you said when you sent me that. You said, now this is really what's important. I mean, please.
Well, part of it is, I don't know, maybe it's all. I mean, the elections have always played an extraordinary part in American history, and of course, people at the top that make and enforce laws that make and create and declare war, they're pretty important to social, political, economic even cultural life. So it's not like they're not, they don't have some major bearing on mm-hmm. our lives. They do. But this is truly out of hand.
Yeah, it really is. And every other article or everything you see, you know, I watched just about a half hour of CNN just to see what they were doing, of course. And everything is, will the convention blah, blah, blah hurt Obama? Will this and so hurt Obama? I mean, everything. They have picked every single angle possible and said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
And folks, they're doing it for one and only one reason. So you'll keep watching.
Yes, they absolutely.
And here's my advice. Deal them the cruelest blow of all. Turn it off. We're not talking about the Republican convention here, folks, because I know you think Jolene and I are just complete Democratic Party partisans, which we're not. Just turn it off. There's no need. There is absolutely nothing that's going to be presented between Monday and Thursday in Denver, nor a week later in Minneapolis-St. Paul when the Republicans assemble there. Because, in fact... Here's it's not just the boredom factor. It's not just the, I don't know, what other factors are there?
To watch TV?
To not watch TV.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, for one thing, it's like allowing a door-to-door salesman in your house.
Yeah?
Yeah. Republicans and Democrats. And that, I mean, that's the game, of course, because they've got with their advertisements and this 4-day infomercial, they're trying to create an impression. And particularly with Republicans, but the same is true with the Democrats as well. They're not trying to tell you about the real solutions to problems. They're not trying to create an agenda that will turn around the problems we have in this country. They're trying to create an impression that will
get you to vote for them.
Get you to vote for them. And, and so much of it is low blows. I mean, we've seen it already coming from the Republicans. McCain always trying to be the nice guy saying, my good friend, Joe Biden, now the Democratic Party vice presidential nominee. And he's, of course, he's a colleague.
Oh, did he really say that?
Yeah. But then he has these far right wing, lying, repellent hatchet men that begin to have these ads that try to play on people's worst fears.
Well, yeah, and what they're doing now also, many of you have probably already seen these ads where they're attacking Joe Biden and bringing out sound bites during the whole
primaries.
Thank you.
Yeah.
During the primaries where Biden was criticizing Obama for being too young and too inexperienced. It's like, well, come on, people. First of all, this is politics. This is an election. And when they're all running against each other, what are they supposed to say? You know, they criticize each other because they want to win.
You and I differ a little in that. I think that's legitimate.
Well, still, I mean, yeah. It's going to happen.
But
what I'm saying. It happens every time.
But I guess the real question is, why would you sit there and watch this? Because one of the things that when an ad comes on from the McCain camp, say, and says that Barack Obama wants to raise your taxes and is going to lose the war in Iraq. I mean, what information do you have directly to refute that at hand? You don't.
True.
You don't. So I think what most people do, well, some people are just taken in by it completely.
Yes.
Other people, I think they just try to keep it at arm's length. But it's like all advertising. It begins to sink in after a while. And so the impression... Yeah. Like, for instance, here is this ultra-rich man, or at least he's married to an ultra-rich woman.
McCain,
yeah. Trying to create the impression, as they tried to do with Kerry, pardon me, that he's an elitist.
Well, yeah. How about the fact that John McCain, when asked on one of these interviews, how many homes do you own? I don't know. Maybe I can get one of my people. He didn't know that he owns. Well, it's like... I thought it was 10, but yeah. I've been told it's homes.
Even more.
He doesn't know how many homes he owns.
Well, you know, and that, of course, was leaped upon by the Obama people to show here's the guy that's really out of touch with the common people because he essentially is a multimillionaire, someone who wears $500 loafers.
Yeah, and well, they were after Kerry, remember, because Kerry had 5 homes
back then.
And guess how many homes Obama has?
One. Yeah, but that was bought for him by some...
Oh.
Yeah. But, you know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, obviously, the wealth rule. I mean, they don't call it a ruling class for nothing. It's a class of rulers.
Yeah.
And people like Obama, or let's put it another way, the Clintons. The Clintons didn't come into office rich, but now they're ultra wealthy themselves. Oh. And they live in a mansion. And if that's Obama true. Becomes president and makes it for one or two terms, you know, in 10 years, he'll have three or four homes as well.
Loaded.
It's
uh-huh.
I mean, to one extent, to a large extent, the system is totally corrupted by money. Well, let me, why am I, it sounds like I'm equivocating like about that. The system is completely corrupted by money. And what is, I guess, worrisome to me is that people, ethical people, and people with a sense of fairness are just going to say, you know, I don't want anything to do with this process. I'm not going to vote.
Well, and that is really of great concern to me, because I've heard a lot of people saying that, or a few people here and there, and we need everyone to get out there and vote.
Well, a lot of the Republicans don't care, because what they want to make sure is that they can no matter what their social class is, including like working class guys particularly, but middle class people, they're going to say, I don't want a colored guy in there. You know, or I want
people
somebody.
People still say colored person?
Well, that's when they're in public.
Oh, exactly. And
that's when they're in public,
thank
unfortunately.
You.
I mean, that's increasingly a small amount of the people. But those prejudices remain. But it's a lot of it is that just an identification with the rulers, because these are the strong men. You know, this is, many of them don't even care that Bush has created this morass in Iraq. I mean, to them, it's war, and war is manly.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooga yeah. Booga.
So these are the people that will get fooled again. This is Bush Co. 3, John McCain. I mean, I don't have too much to say for Barack Obama.
Hey, there's a DJ here at the station, one that's more on our side of things. And he calls him, I think it was John McLean, I think.
John McLean.
If he's listening, let us know. I like that one.
But, well, you know, you can say that about anybody. But it really, when I say John McCain, what I'm trying to...
more of the same.
Yeah, it will
Bush
be more of the same. If you,
I think it's going to be worse.
Well, things are going to keep getting worse. I mean, it could keep getting worse if Obama is in office, because sure. There's a lot of things that are not under his control. I mean, the whole world economy is beginning to ratchet downward. What what he can do about that, I don't know. John McCain, let's keep calling him that, he affirms the economic policies of George W. Bush.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
And then some.
So why isn't Barack Obama winning like about 70%?
Well, there's so much to undo if there's a possibility of even doing it. That if Obama wins, and I mean, I hope he does, that he's got a real mess on his hands.
Yeah, he does. In fact, I think I said that the other week some conservatives are saying that it'll be like the Carter. Like the Carter interregnum, you know, the intermediary between mild Republicans like Nixon. They think Nixon was mild. And the Reagan Revolution. The Reagan Revolution, of course, that set the basis for sinking everything with, you know, over expenditure on the war economy, with deregulation, all of that. But here, Associated Press, tens of thousands are expected for the August 25th to 28th Democratic Convention at the downtown Pepsi Center. An estimated 75,000 people could hear Barack Obama's acceptance speech at nearby Invesco Field at Mile High Stadium. I mean, just look at that. Pepsi Center, Invesco Field.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, man. And there's going to be protests. What is it? It's Recreate 68.
Oh, yeah.
That's the name of a group.
Democratic conventions in Chicago.
40 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, there was, there's so much stuff here, and I can't always find it. But there actually was a story talking about what the protesters, as they call them, were all about. Like, it was his name Ron? Yeah, Ron Kovic, born on the 4th of July guy.
He's there. He led a march of about 2,000 people. Well, of course, that was a mainstream media account, right?
Probably means there were 20,000. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was that many there. But the point being is one would think, why are there protesters on the left protesting at the Democratic convention? Well, here's what I heard on the radio. It said, protesters today began a march and confronted by the police. And you hear them saying, no peace, no justice, no peace, no justice. And so it just sounds like part of the wacky spectacle that we're being treated to. No understanding that people who are forced to the margins, the reason that the Republicans don't march much is because they're in control of things. They control, you know, corporations. They control, you know, all sorts of aspects of the system. They don't have to do it. People that are marginalized, those are the people that have traditionally had to get out in the streets.
Well, no wonder I'm on the street so much.
So I'm not gonna watch 1 minute of this Democratic convention.
I'm not either. Nope, not doing it.
But this is the age of the public confessional, so
you know,
I have to do
it. It's gonna be a beautiful week. I think I'm gonna spend a lot of time outdoors.
I thought you were gonna give the weather. Weather-wise, it's gonna be a beautiful day tomorrow. 78 for high and sunshine.
I mean, I have been called a bubblehead by some people, that listener who didn't like me, but I'm not gonna be your bubble-headed weather girl. I forget. I refuse. I mean.
And don't ever say weather-wise.
Okay. Write this down.
All right. Where were we? Oh, yeah, Democratic Convention. Public confessional. This is going to shock many people. And, you know, this is the kind of thing people would say, why the hell did you even tell people? We just bought a new television.
Well, this is actually monumental.
Shocking.
Shocking, because the television you have had before, you've had since I've known you, which is over a decade now.
Yeah, right.
And that was a television that was how many decades old?
Well, I don't know. It was my wife's mother, TV, who died 12 years ago. So we got this new thing about how it's all going to be digital next.
Yes.
So we went out, and I said, yeah, give me that big one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Peter, with 32 a flat
inch
screen.
Yeah, flat screen, 32 inch.
Okay, so what about it?
Well, I understand why people watch so much television.
Oh, when you have this beautiful picture?
Yeah, yeah. And
so, yeah, I said to you, so is unnamed wife enjoying it? Well, actually, I've been watching it more than she has.
She has hardly watched it. Well, I was watching the Olympics.
Okay.
Which are quite...
You're excused.
Yeah, okay. Because that's what I say. That's mindless entertainment. That's what television is good for.
I love the mindless entertainment.
It is not good for giving you much information, particularly political information. I mean, some people say, oh, the History Channel and all that. That's not bad.
You can learn some things on the History Channel.
Yeah. But
I mean, but what you're saying is pick up a book and really you're going to get more in-depth knowledge.
Right. Here's why we don't want Bush Co. 3, which would be the McSame, pardon me, McSame presidential term. I won't even read you the headline. It's so bizarre here. But it says, immigrants seeking asylum in the United States have been disproportionately rejected by judges whom the Bush administration chose during a conservative, using a conservative political test, according to analysis of Justice Department data. I get the feeling that people probably didn't even understand that sentence. Was that very clear? What was happening is that, contrary to U.S. law, Bush Co., this outlaw regime that cheated its way into office, both in 2000 and 2004, was staffing the entire governmental system with conservative Republicans. This is illegal. Why these people aren't being charged for doing this, I have no idea. It says the analysis suggests the effects of a patronage-style selection process for immigration judges used for 3 years before it was abandoned as illegal. If it was illegal, why isn't somebody being prosecuted? Why aren't there prosecutions of Bush Co. operatives? He says, still being felt by scores of immigrants whose fates are determined by the judges installed in that period. We're talking about people that are legally seeking asylum here. But let me see. The data focuses on 16 judges. Comparisons of their records to others in the same city shows that a group they ruled against asylum seekers significantly more often than colleagues who are appointed, as the law requires, under politically neutral rules. So you say, this is the whole reason you don't want John McSaman? Well, here, The Bush administration has been accused by Democrats and other critics of improperly bringing politics into the business of federal agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency, the General Services Administration, and most notably the Justice Department, which has been reeling under accusations that officials sought to politicize the apparatus of law enforcement, which they did. But this is across the board. This is in so many things that that affect you and me, our health, our welfare. I don't mean welfare. I mean the welfare of our communities, of our families. And these are the criminals that, and why criminals? Because they're doing illegal things. These are the criminals that will remain in office if McShane gets in there. And what they've got are billionaires financing these lying ads about Obama.
Oh, I read about that.
Yeah. One of them, I love this because I haven't talked to him in a while. A new conservative group co-founded by a former campaign aide to Senator John McCain said it would begin a major advertising campaign, I think it's already happened, against Obama, emphasizing his association with Bill Ayers, the 1960s radical and Weather Underground founder.
Haven't you interviewed him?
Yeah, and Bill's a buddy of mine.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Barack Obama, where they're always trying to link him up, where I love his line, he says that he called it,
But well, the group is called the American Issues Project.
Yeah.
And the firm is the Pinkston Group.
Right.
And this person had worked for the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth campaign against Kerry.
A guy that people that smeared a heroic veteran.
Yeah.
They don't have any respect for veterans at all.
It's the same group. So if you see that, you can, think about that.
Here's what Obama said about Bill Ayers. He was not someone who I exchanged ideas from on a regular basis, and he called him someone who engaged in detestable acts 40 years ago when I was 8 years old.
Right, I read that.
And so they're trying to connect him up with 9/11. I mean, this is the whole manner in which I was saying that they're trying to create impressions.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
and the Muslim terrorist connection is the most ridiculous of all. When he visited, was it Africa? And he had the turban on his head. I mean, please.
Polls. And so some of them show them neck and neck, McShane and Obama. So now one poll shows McShane with a 5-point lead over Obama.
Really?
I mean, people are just going to let me ask you, are you sick of this already or are you fascinated by it? And do you think that this is the society, the spectacle? And that means we sit passively and watch things on television. The Olympics, okay. Well, they happen every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But most of it, it's just there to fool us. And who sings won't get fooled again? I mean, I hope you can sing it as well. If you'd like to give us a call, like to hear from you. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743.
And for the bashful, and when the lines are filled, which they are not right now, let me see what we're doing here. Oh, the calls are streaming in. For Slayer, Al is there.
You know what? One thing else that I think we should mention is that there was a protest that Peter and I attended in Miami, and they spent $8 million, closing down and securing downtown Miami from us and the monks we marched with. They've spent $18 million at this Democratic National Convention so far in security.
Yeah, and the city of Denver is really getting shafted. They haven't raised enough money, so they're going to be losing money on all of this. Yeah, there are some other issues that don't have to do with the convention that are kind of important, too, is that Bushco, with the hope that this will make their presidential candidate, John McShane, look militaristic and strong in comparison to the effete and elitist Obama, that they're pushing us sort of towards World War III. I don't know. I thought maybe I'd mention that at some point during the broadcast.
Just that little bit, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we talked a little about this last week. The United States and Poland signed a deal on Wednesday. This is from, let me see, August 20th? I don't know. This was last week.
Missile defense, to put the missile defense base in Poland.
They signed it, though, to place a U.S. missile defense base 115 miles from Russia. A move followed swiftly by a new warning from Moscow of a possible military response. We did talk about that, but this is from this Wednesday.
Yeah, it has been signed.
Yeah. Negotiators sealed the deal last week against a backdrop of Russian military action in Georgia. After Wednesday's signing, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice dismissed any suggestion the 10 missile defense interceptors, which Washington says are intended to defend Europe and the U.S. from a possible threat of long-distance missiles from Iran, represent a threat to Russia. I mean, everybody knows that just given the slightest provocation that Iran would attack the Czech Republic mm-hmm. and Poland, right? Why, yeah. I mean, this is so absurd. And on the other hand, this is quite clearly aimed at Russia. And Rice says, who always lies, she's a member of Bushco, so when her mouth is open, she's lying. Mm-hmm. She lied everything about Iraq, so why wouldn't she be lying now? Missile defense, of course, is aimed at no one. It is in our defense that we do this. Missile defense, of course, is aimed at no one. They're not aimed anywhere. They're just a defense. Well, if two men, I would assume only men would be doing this, if two men had swords and they were both equal swordsmen, it would be a standoff, wouldn't it? Give one a shield.
Yeah, sure.
Give one a shield. Who has the advantage? So that's why there was the anti-ballistic missile treaty in place, for instance. She denounced an earlier threat from Russia. I mean, this is insane. This woman is thousands of miles from our home. She said the comments of Russia border on the bizarre, frankly. Unlike the statements that she made about Iraq, she says the Russians are losing their credibility. But get this, it's also the case.
Losing their credibility, yeah. Really.
Here's Condoleezza Rice. You tell me, 313-298-WRIF, if you want to be included in on this. It is also the case that when you threaten Poland, you perhaps forget that it is not 1988. It's 2008, and the United States has a firm treaty guarantee to defend Poland's territory as if it was the territory of the United States.
Wow.
Now, if that doesn't scare the crap out of you, I don't know what does. Countries defend the peripheries as a buffer against external attack. That's why the United States has the Monroe Doctrine. It says no European country can even come in this hemisphere. I mean, this is what happened in Cuba in 40-something years ago. Condoleezza Rice says we have a firm treaty to defend Poland's territory as if it was the territory of the United States, so it's probably not wise to throw these threats around. This is frightening, folks.
Yeah,
this is like 1939, right? And there is a little thing. What's that document called? Eric, I always forget the name of it. The Constitution. That's right. The Constitution of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that thing?
In a little piece of paper.
Yeah, a little piece of paper, just ragtime on the street right now. Doesn't really amount to much anymore. Bushko has just put it through the shredder. There's treaties shall be made with the advice and consent of the Senate. With the advice and the consent of the Senate. Mostly and importantly, the consent of the Senate. The Senate has not consented to this. This should not have the weight of a treaty to say that we are going to be defending Poland's territory as if it was the territory of the United States unless there's a vote on this. It also, along with the main deal, the two nations, Poland and the United States, that's our country, or it used to be at least, signed a so-called Declaration of Strategic Cooperation, which is to deepen their military and political partnership. So we're going into a military and political partnership with Poland, this country 6,000 miles away, or 4,000 miles away, I guess it is. It includes a mutual commitment to come to each other's assistance immediately if one is under attack. So I guess if Canada invades us, Poland will
right.
You know, hit them. And enhancing existing obligations. But here's the real kicker. The declaration also is accompanied by a promise from the U.S. to help modernize Poland's armed forces and to place a battery of Patriot missiles there by 2012.
Wow.
They're going to be bringing Patriot missiles, battlefield missiles, to the border of Russia. Now, boy, those
and
Russia...
that's not making Russia mad at all.
Yeah. I mean, they're really paranoid.
There
right?
was a great. I would direct anyone who's interested in reading more about that. It's Mikhail Gorbachev wrote that op-ed in the New York Times. It was August 20th, so it was Wednesday, but you can still probably get it in there. And it is really, telling of the situation over there and, yeah. and, you know, kind of a history and what he feels. And, you know, it's really interesting.
Well, this is true madness, folks. And I don't, I mean, I sometimes think, you know, we always think in strategic terms and economic terms, but increasingly, and sometimes you've heard it from me as well, these people are just mad. I mean, they're crazy. They're involved like high stakes poker players. They're these class A personalities who are risk takers and they get juiced from it. I mean, nobody in their right mind would be going up to another major country that has been destroyed three times by invading Western armies and start messing around on the periphery of their border. I mean, Cuba and Russia are talking about restoring traditional ties and even maybe to the point of, let me see, this was in here. It says, Russia, once the island's top economic benefactor and military ally, has hinted at reestablishing a military presence in Cuba in a tit-for-tat for U.S. activities in Eastern Europe, including plans for a missile defense system. Well, isn't that okay? I mean, why is it not okay for them? And I don't want that there. Do you? Do you want a Russian base in Cuba? Doesn't that kind of make you a little nervous? Well, it makes me a little nervous. So why wouldn't it make the Russians a little nervous as well? And as it is, a U.S. Navy destroyer loaded with humanitarian aid has reached Georgia's Black Sea port of Batumi on Sunday, today, bringing baby food, bottled water, and a message of support for an embattled ally. This, again, a country on the periphery of a major empire. Can you imagine a Russian warship? I mean, we could have sent non-military vessels there. This was a way of saying the United States has the right to go anywhere at any time of our choosing, no matter what the interests, no matter what the concerns of other countries are. And this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work, folks. This other thing I saw, too, you might... Russia sent... This was about the Russian pullout from Georgia. It says Russia showed small signs of moving a few troops away from Georgia on last Tuesday. Russia retained its grip on da-da-da-da-da. They're at the port of Pati, parading... they had 21 Georgian soldiers parading them with five seized Humvees beginning to Georgia's backers, the United States. I mean, our tax dollars are going to give the Georgians Humvees.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the military-industrial complex. This is looting, right, of our wages, our wealth that we create in this country, and giving it away to the people that make Humvees, and then they give them away to the Georgians. So the Georgians are happy, our allies, right, 4,000 miles away, and the company that makes the Humvees are real happy, and you and I are paying for it instead of paying for what we'd really like to see happen in this country. Make it the greatest country in the world rather than a country that increasingly is getting to be second rate in terms of its infrastructure and its educational system, how we treat our elderly, how we treat the poor, health insurance, all of that. Well, what would you rather have, Humvees for Georgia or a healthcare system?
That's a tough one.
Let's think about that. If you have an answer to that or any other question, 313-298-WRIA.
313-298-9743.
Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, we'll be right back.
I want you all to know.
It's the greatest country in the world.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this.
Do you have a question about paternity? In the past, paternity tests were usually expensive and results took weeks. Now, Identigene offers a DNA paternity test that is easy, affordable, and totally confidential. The Identigene DNA Paternity Test Collection Kit is available in the pregnancy test aisle of your local store. The Identigene Kit is easy to use and contains everything you need. Just rubbing the inside of a person's cheek with Identigene swabs provides a DNA sample. Use the enclosed postage paid envelope to send the samples to the Identigene lab. Within 3 to 5 days, you'll have answers. The Identigene accuracy rate is over 99%, so you can have peace of mind. Identigene is a 15-year-old company and is accredited for DNA testing nationally and internationally. For more information and store locations, please go to DNAtesting.com. Identigene. For questions only DNA can answer.
Identigene is available at CVS Pharmacy and Rite Aid.
When it... Weekday night at 10 with Meltdown. It's like getting hit in the head by a 2x4. With a nail in it. Mandatory Metallica. Now, it's your triple play of the mighty Metallica. With the big unit. Every weekday night at 10. Exclusively from your one and only Metallica station. 101 WRIM. Everything that rocks.
Business is tough in Michigan right now, but there are companies who are bucking the trend. Meet Bill and Roseanne, owners of Glendale Auto Supply.
We've built our business on having a depth of inventory that is unsurpassed. And if we don't have the part you need, we can usually get it within 24 hours.
That's right, Bill. And our counter staff are ASE certified professionals. You're dealing with the best of the best in knowledge of auto parts.
We're proud of our staff. They're not just gearheads. They're professionals who love what they do. And now we've added two new locations in Lake Orion and Dearborn Heights to make it even easier for you to shop our stores. We believe in the Motor City.
So when you need a part, shop a real auto parts store, Glendale Auto Supply.
Visit Glendale Auto Supply in Farmington, Livonia, Southfield, Walled Lake, Dearborn Heights, and Lake Orion. Or go to GlendaleAutoSupply.com. That's GlendaleAutoSupply.com.
Over 400 local shops count on Glendale Auto for their parts, and you can too.
Come see us today.
So I went out to lunch with those two hot chicks from accounting last week.
Oh, dude, I'm so jealous.
And we started talking about what attracts the opposite sex.
Oh, yeah, big, shiny car.
Hello? The one thing they both agreed on was a great smile.
Really?
Apparently, having healthy-looking teeth sends them a message that you take care of yourself. And if you care about yourself, then you'll care about her.
Yeah, but I always get nervous when I have to go to the dentist.
Yeah, I used to as well. Then one of the girls recommended Cherry Hill Dental Center. It's a state-of-the-art office that handles everything, including cosmetic and restorative procedures.
So maybe I should make an appointment.
Maybe. Come on.
What?
Dude, look in the mirror. When was the last time you've been to a dentist?
That's harsh.
Plus, they've got same-day scheduling most of the time. Just call Cherry Hill Dental Center. They're on Cherry Hill Road in Garden City. How easy is that? Or go to their website at cherryhilldental.com.
So, a good smile is going to help me with the ladies?
It can't hurt.
Hi, this is Dr. Dan. Backed by popular demand, Cherry Hill Dental Center's Zoom Summer Whitening Special. Just $2.99 now through Labor Day. Call 734-427-2880 or visit cherryhilldental.com.
Kick off your Labor Day festivities in style as you and your closest friends party with WRIF Live from your backyard with an acoustic performance from Saving Able. Keep it locked on the Rift to win tickets for Saving Able. August 28th, the Clutch Cargoes. Then, you and your friends could catch Saving Able before they rock Clutch Cargoes in a private, intimate setting of, your place. We'll even bring the Hooters girls and some wings to get the party started. The Backyard Brouhaha with Saving Able from Mobile One, a T-Mobile exclusive dealer. For the location nearest you, go to MyMobileTheNumber1.com and 101 WRIF. Everything that rocks. Now, Night Call is back on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's your host, Peter Werby.
Thank you very much. I was trying to do something. It didn't work. Is it too late? Oh, no. I see what we got to do here. There we go.
Do you listen to lies? Lies, lies, lies. Do you ask yourself why? Why, why, why? Nobody cares what you want. Nobody cares what you need. Nobody cares how you feel. Nobody cares if you dream. But political hacks with their big money packs, they will promise to fill your dreams. They will grab at your throats as they gather your votes. Man, it's really a love it seems. They'll deny your meds for a hospital bed for the lack of a lead stove.
That's music of Paul Wilbur, W-I-L-B-U-R. Thanks for sending that in, Paul. Jolene Jordan is with me. You can start sending us stuff, too. Go to my website, Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E.com. PeterWerby.com. Try to get some, locally produced, not even locally, because a lot of people are listening around the country and around the world on WRIF.com. So, yeah, we'll try to get more. We haven't been doing much with music, and some of it has been starting to sneak in over the last few weeks. So we're going to start doing more. So if you got stuff you'd like us to play,
send it on over.
And if you go, let me see, you have to click on the, if you go to the site, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com, and right over in the left, there's a microphone. Click on that, go down a ways, and that'll give you the snail mail address if you want to mail stuff, or you can just send it into calltalkyes@yahoo.com if it's on MP3 or something like that. We get mail, do we?
We do have mail.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
At calltalkyes@yahoo.com.
And we got one from Todd. I just saw a commercial linking Obama to a man named Ayers, which we just talked about, who supposedly bombed the Capitol 30 years ago. It claims they're good friends. What kind of BS is this?
Well, you know... as I said earlier, Bill Ayers, who actually is a good friend of mine. He's not a good friend of Barack Obama's, but he's a good friend of mine. And he and a number of other young people at the time, 40-something years ago, began an organization called Weather Underground. In fact, it's an interesting documentary called Weather Underground. You can check it out on probably on Netflix or something like that if you get that kind of stuff. Bill Ayers now is a professor of, I forgot what it is, but he and his wife, Bernadine Dorn, who is a law professor, so they're now respected academics. They were wild radicals. They and their group did a series of bombings in which no one got hurt. That's not an excuse, but it wasn't like anybody did get hurt. It was the 60s. It was the 70s. Well, now they're middle-aged, or maybe you're not even middle-aged if you're over 60, right? So in Chicago, where Barack Obama began his political career, Bill Ayers is on a number of there's a member of different organizations that try to improve the city and improve the community where they all lived. They lived in the same community. So this is really a smear job. In fact, there is, if you go to my website, same one I just gave you before, peterwerbe.com, there's a whole site dedicated to talking about the smears that are being used, rather than attempting to, deal with subjects, deal with agendas, deal with programs, deal with platforms. Why do that when you can smear somebody? All right, let's get some people on the air. 313-298-WRIF. Here's Mike in Auburn Hills. Mike, it's Peter and Jalene. You're on WRIF. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I just wanted to make a comment about war.
About gore?
No, the war.
Oh, the war.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just got back from basic training.
Oh.
And there's been word going around that, I don't know, I've just been back for a little bit, that Russia's going to be, we're going to invade Iran. That we're talking about it. It's going through our ranks really quickly. Like, it's a huge topic now through the military. And the fact that we're going to do that, if we do that, we're going to be screwed.
Because
if we invade Iran, they're aligned with Russia, China, North Korea, and Italy.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. But let me tell you that.
Nothing, but.
Yeah, yeah. The United States is not going to invade Iran. The United States has so overextended itself militarily, both in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and now they're talking about switching troops to Afghanistan. I wouldn't worry about winding up in Iran. I would worry about winding up in Afghanistan, where the war is really heating up there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's where I'm heading in a little bit.
To Afghanistan?
Mm-hmm. After I go to North Korea for a couple months. Or South Korea for a couple months.
Oh, okay, good. I was wondering. North Korea. Yeah.
No, we can't go there.
No. Well, I don't have much to say other than, I hope you stay out of harm's way. As you probably have seen, the casualty total for the U.S. is increasing considerably in Afghanistan. The war is really heating up. There's no telling what's going to go on. Could wind up to be another Iraq. Giving every promise of that,
Go ahead. As a Democrat also, how do you feel about the war? Even though it's your talk show, I've always wanted to ask that kind of question. Well, how do you feel about it?
About the Iraq war?
Yeah. Well, war in general.
Well, it was totally based on lies, and if all of that effort would have been, in fact, you know, Barack Obama says this as well, that if the effort that has taken place, the amount of money expended, and the casualties that have been suffered both by our side and also the civilian population of Iraq, that could have probably all been avoided if there would have been quickly dispatching the people that the United States sees as responsible for harboring Al-Qaeda. I mean, this could have all been history. But this whole web of lies that Bush and Rumsfeld, remember those guys, had all perpetrated, that somehow we were under this real threat from Iraq, and they knew it wasn't. I mean, this was purposeful lies. All this death, all this destruction, all this waste of hundreds of billions of dollars lays at the feet of George Bush and company, what I call Bushco. And we've got a guy now running for the Republicans that says we just want to go ahead with more of the same. He said victory is almost at hand. Victory is almost at hand.
But doesn't this go all the way back to Clinton?
To Clinton?
If Clinton didn't, and the Homeland Security move our soldiers around and lower our defenses, wouldn't 9/11 never have happened?
Well, no, you're forgetting that George Bush was president during September 11th, and he absolutely ignored every warning that this was about to occur. This wasn't just like out of the blue. He received in August of 2001 a presidential briefing that said Osama bin Laden will strike in the United States. All this stuff, I mean, the FBI kept bringing information about guys, training, taking flight training. I mean, there was every sign in the world that something was going to happen, and Bush went off to cut brush, at Crawford in August. This is the most catastrophic, internal attack the United States has ever absorbed. And certainly it is the worst catastrophic intelligence failure. Now, Pearl Harbor, things were pretty primitive then. Some people said that Roosevelt should have been a little more aware that what was shaping up. But now we have modern communication. Clinton's security advisor, Richard, what the hell was his name? I can't remember now. Kept pleading with Bush and Bush administration people to pay attention to the possibility of internal attack by Al-Qaeda, and Bush did nothing. So I think it's all right at his door. All right, well, thank you very much. Like I said, stay out of harm's way, please. All right, and in terms of, here's something that I think is worth taking a look at. Detroit artists, activists come together for rally rock and roll benefit show for wounded Iraqi war veterans. All proceeds go to Soldiers Angels, which is soldiersangels.com. Thursday, September 11th, the Detroit music community will come together for a rock and roll benefit show to help aid wounded Iraqi veterans who have been denied medical insurance and or basic rehabilitation needs to heal their permanent physical and emotional damage directly related to serving in the Middle East war. I mean, is this clear? I mean, for one thing, let me just take my hat off to, which I'm not wearing, but let me salute, if you will, these people that are putting together this benefit. I mean, this is a community that is taking action to protect people that have been grievously harmed. Mm-hmm. And this is, in this case, wounded Iraqi war veterans who have been denied medical insurance or other basic rehabilitation needs. This is going to be Thursday, September 11th, 7 p.m. at the Magic Stick. That's downtown. Right, it's in the Majestic, if you're familiar with that.
Woodward Avenue,
yeah. It's south of Wayne State University, the Majestic, which was where Harry Houdini played his last show.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Think about this. Think about Bushco sending these young men, in many cases not so young, off to war, and then we civilians have to get together our money. I mean, one hand, I like this. I like the idea of people pitching in, of not depending on the government. But the government sent these people to war, and it was a war that never had to be fought. These people never had to suffer these grievous injuries. The man at the top that lied bears direct responsibility for the injuries, for the deaths in the hundreds of thousands when you add in the Iraqis as well. And it's how many people are being denied? How many hundreds, maybe thousands of vets being denied? And these are, you know, the Republicans are, you know, real pro-vet, right? Shows hosted and organized by local activist rockers, The Questions, and will feature, and I'm going to name all the groups just as a way of saying thanks to them, feature additional performances by The Frustrations, The High Strung, The Coffin Cats, Mick Bassett and the Marthas, Friends of Dennis Wilson, The Directions, The Electric Lions, wow, I don't know how to say this one, Duende, Pink Eye, Sick Sick Nation, and Stare Into the Sun. There'll be representatives from several local national political activist groups handing out free literature and educational information regarding the opportunities to create change in the U.S. war policy. So we invite you to join us. I got to get
when
this.
When is this again?
This is Thursday, September 11th. It's the 7th anniversary of September 11th. Mm-hmm. 7 p.m. at the Magic Stick, 4120 Woodward Avenue in Detroit. This just makes me so angry.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And, of course, what's happening? These guys that join, like our first caller there, in good faith to defend the country, or maybe just for opportunities, you know, little of both, help themselves, help the country, and they get cut off at the knees, some of them literally, I'm sure. And in the meantime, Bushko's pals are all getting rich off the war. Billions and billions and billions of dollars to these contractors, right? I mean, I wish I could use any language I chose.
Yes.
All right. Here is Mac in Brighton. Mac, it's Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan on WRIF. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Beck, you talked about this at the beginning of the show, but I wanted to talk about, just for a second, the Democratic National Convention. I know you guys are sick of hearing about this, but...
No. I'm sick of it. I'm not sick of talking about it, and I'm certainly not sick of you...
Sick of the spectacle.
Yeah, and I'm not sick of you talking about it.
Oh, I agree.
Okay.
But, all right. Well, I just wanted to say that the Iraqi Veterans Against the War are hosting... Like, you mentioned that there were protests going on, but you didn't really have any specifics. And so I heard about this this one protest going on. It was the Iraqi Veterans Against the War. They're having a music festival in downtown.
Oh yeah, Steve Earle's going to be at it, right?
Downtown.
Yeah, it's got Rage Against the Machine playing.
Yeah.
In Denver?
I don't know Rage. Tom Morello is from Rage.
Yeah,
is going to play
Tom
there.
Morello. Yeah.
Wow.
And I just thought it was they're sending the direct message to Barack Obama that he needs to end the war.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because he starts moving, you know, immediately to the center. He figures he's got everybody on the left. Yeah, so
so they're making sure he's got the unwavering hand. So
well,
I
think it's excellent that you brought that up, Mac. What I was actually referring to is the way it's presented on the news. I mean, the people that are protesting in Denver have very coherent spokespeople, and if the news was serious about presenting all aspects of reality rather than just what they choose, they would allow these people on. They would allow them, you know, their 20 seconds of fame. Instead, it's what all you see is a confrontation between the protesters and the RoboCops, right? And
they try to play off the protesters as the bad guys.
Yeah, and they also want to create the tension that will keep you watching. So what about, I haven't asked anybody, like I was saying, and I mean, this is presumptuous telling other people not to watch it. I should do what I want. You should do what you want. But does it hold allure to you? Are you going to be glued in front of the television watching all of it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's really releasing any pertinent information.
Yeah. You know, when all this stuff came down about the Russian response to the Georgian attack of South Ossetia, Obama was in Hawaii on vacation, and they showed him, actually, I saw this on The Daily Show. We don't have cable. Where was I watching it? I must have been watching it online. But anyway, you stop noticing this. But Barack Obama didn't have a suit on or anything, but he had an American flag in back of him. And John Stewart said, he goes to Hawaii, he doesn't have a suit, but he brings a flag? And it is so nuts that all this patriotism crap, not that patriotism is crap, but the patriotism crap that's foisted upon people in a manipulative way.
Yeah. What is considered, people have this pressure to be quote unquote patriotic.
Yeah, you gotta carry a flag, literally. He probably said, hey, Adam, what am I gonna need a suit for in Maui, right? But I better bring my flag.
Right.
Right. All right, Max.
Hey, Peter.
Thanks for the info. Appreciate it. Yeah.
We got a McCain joke.
Yeah.
McCain, whatever.
Insane.
Does McCain wear boxers or briefs?
I don't know.
Depends. Sorry. You know, sometimes a little humor helps.
Yeah. You know, we used to have a little segment called How Dumb Are You? Whether or not you were swallowing the guff being put out there. But I think it's even better. For one thing, it's a little insulting. So I think a better deal is, in fact, this poll that I just saw is heartening as well. We could call it How Dumb Do They Think We Are? And this has to do with all that patriotic and flag crap. Because here, this is the Greenberg Quinlan Rosner poll, and it was commissioned by the True Patriot Network. Now, this sounds like a right-wing group.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Okay. But here's the key finding. 76% of respondents believe that political leaders, quote, invoke patriotism in a cheap and empty way. Thank you.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, who are the 24% that don't think that's true? So, but they're stuck doing it. I mean, that whole thing about Obama and a flag pin, that, you know, every time they speak, they're surrounded by American flag. What is that all about? The single most negative thing Americans feel about patriotism is that, quote, politicians often exploit it to manipulate the public. So people are not getting fooled again.
Well, yeah, and remember right after 9/11 and all the flags everywhere. I mean, there were flags everywhere. Well,
right.
You just don't see those anymore. It's waned.
Like, except when it comes to the politicians.
Yeah.
By a 20-point margin, 58% to 38% respondents believe patriotism should be more about, quote, actively improving America than simply honoring its past. And although I don't understand this. Although more Americans rate Senator McCain as patriotic, 74%, than Senator Obama, 56%, why would 26% of Americans not think that John McCain is patriotic? And why would 44% of Americans think that Obama is? What? I mean, I don't even know what it means not to be patriotic. I mean, if it means not to be blindly nationalistic, like I'm not, if it means that you're going to criticize the hell out of a particular government, like Americans have always done, then I'm not patriotic. Let's see. There's a lot more in here. Okay. Let's get back to our phones. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, 313-298-WRIF, and here's Lord Jimmy. Well, praise the Lord and pass the Jimmy.
I told you you had to call me Lord now because I won my election.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm a precinct delegate. Oh, yes, bow before me. Now,
I don't get it, though. You wrote me and you said you were backing this Democrat.
Yeah.
For what, state rep, was it? State representative?
No, for U.S. Congress.
Oh, U.S. Congress?
Yeah.
But how come you became a Republican?
Well, because here's the deal. The right is wrong and the left is stupid. And the only way that we're going to prove that is to get inside of it and do it. Sharon Rainier, my dear friend, she has gotten inside the Democrat Party. And I've gone to meetings with her all over the 7th District, Calhoun County, Eden County.
But now you're in the Republic community.
Right. But, no, I did that on purpose. I did that on her.
He says Democrat.
Her and I've been talking about this.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Here's the deal. There, a third of the people that are in the Democrat Party.
Why do you call it the Democrat Party as opposed to the Democratic Party?
Well,
his
no,
name
it's the
is
Democrat
the
Party. It's not the Democratic Party.
It is. That's its name, the Democratic Party.
No. They're the Democrat Party. Seriously.
No, seriously.
No, really.
I mean, unless you're doing exactly, you're trying to make a subtle
point
political
here.
Point, which I don't get. Like when I say McSame or something like that, but it'd be like saying the Repub Party.
It's. Oh, you want me to tell you the truth? No. It's a Republican.
Keep lying.
Republicans. You know, I mean, that is the truth. They're the same. They're the same. They're
very close.
And vote for whatever.
But let's talk about issues like Roe v. Wade. They're not so much the same.
Yeah, and also, you know, at some level, in terms of managing the empire, there's a lot of similarities. But mm-hmm. in terms like of the interest of
the wealthy,
well, the interest of the wealthy, the Republicans got it hands down in terms of supporting their interests. The Democratic Party is a lot more beholden to ordinary people, to the middle class and the working class, particularly through union support. The Republicans are simply about looting. I mean, unabashed party of looting. To shift. They're these radical rightists in terms of this redistribution of income to move wealth from the middle class and the working class to the people at the top. And for some reason or other, they get people in the middle class and they get people in the working class that seem to say, well, that's okay. I like John McCain because I'm patriotic. All right, Lord Jimmy, good luck with the Repubs or whatever. I don't even know why. What do I care if what he calls the Democratic Party?
Watch the time there, Peter.
Watch the time. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back, folks.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this.
Many of you are wondering what your first HD radio experience will be like. That's normal. And natural. Your first experience may be in a car, but only if you've got an HD radio receiver. So it's important to have one in your car at all times. Have one installed today. It's important for you and the HD station you want to hear.
To win an HD radio, text WIN to 34343 right now. For an in-car expert near you, visit HDradio.com. It's time to upgrade. Standard text rates apply.
Hi, can I help you?
Yeah, we're the next act.
This is the Rock the Night concert, and you're Taco Bell food.
Well, yeah, but at night, we're the band Fourth Meal.
Fourth Meal!
Serving up the late-night hits you crave. Now then, could you show us to our dressing room?
Look, I need backstage passes or you don't get in.
Check the list. Maybe we're down as spicy, crunchy, melty, and grilled.
Nope.
Could you check spicy salsa or crunchy chips?
Check for crave. I think that may be it.
Nope.
How about mouth-watering?
Hey, you guys are starting to make me hungry.
Tell you what, you go to Taco Bell, and we'll watch the door for you.
It's Fourth Meal, and it's only at Taco Bell. To get the spicy, crunchy, melty, and grilled taste of Fourth Meal, you've got to think outside the bun. Taco Bell is open till 2 a.m. or later. Hours may vary by location. Escape the everyday with Taco Bell's new Frutista Freeze, a smooth, frozen blend of strawberry or mango flavors that's topped with real strawberries. To refresh your day, think outside the bun. Made with natural fruit flavors. Product contains no fruit juice. Available at participating locations.
I'm dreaming of a free online golf membership. Access to last-minute tee time specials at the best local golf courses. I'm earning free golf when I book tee times or post golf course reviews. And I'm meeting other golfers that are just as bad as I am. And I'm winning a trip to Augusta to watch the Masters.
You're not dreaming. You're just thinking about lastminutegolfer.com, the nation's largest community of golfers. 500,000 golfers have already discovered the unmatched convenience and value at lastminutegolfer.com. That's lastminutegolfer.com.
Attention home buyers. If you're looking to buy a single family home or condominium, call 877-878-5571 or visit us at everyonewinswithus.com. If you have a home to sell, we'll sell your home for free. If you don't have a home to sell, we'll make your payments for 6 months or double your first-time home buyer tax credit. This is an exclusive limited-time offer, so call us now at 877-878-5571 or visit us at everyonewinswithus.com.
Hi, I'm Adam Helfton from HireItDone.com. Most homeowners don't know where to go today to find an honest contractor. Well, I have the answer for you. It's HireItDone.com. If you live in Metro Detroit and you're thinking of fixing up your home, then you need to visit HireItDone.com right now and let my pre-screened contractors compete for your business. Are you looking for new energy-efficient windows? Or perhaps a roof that won't leak? How about the big addition with a custom kitchen and granite countertops? Or just an honest, trustworthy handyman? All you have to do is remember this. Visit HireItDone.com.
Now.
not take our pride.
That's where the revolution starts, in your own backyard, in your own hometown. Peter Werbe, Jalene Jordan, and this is WRIF in Detroit. And what's the other part we got to say? HD1?
Oh, yes, HD1 Detroit.
Yeah.
And right. I wanted to read this really quick. We were sent a YouTube link, and it's protesters who are refusing to talk to Fox News out in Denver.
Yeah.
And they started to chant, F Fox News. It says, about time. What the hell has become of headline news? It's become a carbon copy of Fox News. Had to block it. So if you go to YouTube and look for anti-war protests, something Fox News reporters, so maybe
go.
You can see that yourself.
Here in Michigan, there's a bunch of ballot proposals, as usual, and there's one for medical marijuana and also for embryonic stem cell research. Believe it or not, that the ban on embryonic stem cell research, which has the potential to
save lots of lives,
is banned, in laws that sound like the ones that are exactly they have in Louisiana, which doesn't have a very progressive sense of thing.
No.
The proposal to Mythic, should I start again?
Go ahead. 3, 2, 1.
That's easy for you to say.
3, 2, 1, go.
The proposal to permit the cultivation, possession, and use of marijuana by patients with certain debilitating illnesses, such as muscular dystrophy or HIV/AIDS, was designated as Proposal 1 by the Board of State Canvassers, and also a constitutional amendment to lift restrictions on research using human embryos aimed at seeking treatments and cures for chronic illness and injury was designated Proposal 2. Well, maybe there's not a host of them yet. It's just 1 and 2. So,
but two very important ones.
Yeah, the cultivation, possession, and use of marijuana by patients with debilitating diseases such as muscular dystrophy or AIDS. No, you know, they can't have that. Then next thing they'll do is...
feel better and maybe eat. Hey, Peter, we got also an email from Metal Mario. What are your feelings on the Kwame Kilpatrick mess? Care to get into it?
No, just that he should resign immediately.
Yeah, well, tomorrow Granholm is deciding whether to take action against him as well.
Well, I mean, to begin those hearings?
Yeah.
That's another thing. I haven't been following that real closely.
Well, and I'm surprised. I was, you know, our producer Al was speaking with him last week, and he really expected the...
With Kilpatrick?
No, with Al, our producer.
Oh, you were speaking with
him. I was speaking with him about it, and he thought that we'd get a lot more phone calls than we've gotten about it. I think people are just... sick to death of it.
Well, not only that. I mean, what is there to say? I mean, to repeat everything that's already on the news all the time?
The guy's, here's what to say. The guy's in court every other day. He won't back down. Enough said.
Huh.
We'll see what happens.
Oh, wait a minute. Here is here's Lars, usually from Madison Heights, but right now he is out in Denver. Lars, hi. You're on the air with Peter and Jalene.
I spent about 2 days on the road, and we just got here a couple hours ago.
Yeah, well, you're...
here is you are in Denver, and you are with the veterans.
Iraq Veterans Against the War.
Thank you.
And you're
and
on the air right now.
There.
Yeah, so what's going on?
We're going to have some training. We're going to do an Operation First Casualty where we simulate Iraqi occupation in the streets of Denver. And on Wednesday, after a Rage Against the Machine concert, if Barack Obama has not met our demands to see us, we're going to go see him.
Uh-huh. Whether he wants to see you or not?
Yes.
Well,
I came prepared. I brought a flak jacket, a gas mask, and a jock strap.
Well, you know what we always say.
What? Be prepared?
Be prepared. When stuff starts going down, just run.
Yeah, that's the best advice. You know, by the way, I played, coming out of this, The Revolution Starts Now, and that's done by Steve Earle, and Steve Earle is going to be performing there in Denver, right?
I'm sorry.
Steve Earle's going to be performing there. You should definitely check that out.
Well, we're having a little bit of technical. All right,
yeah.
Lars.
I think it's Big Brother.
Yeah.
Big
right.
Brother's
Thank you,
stepping
Lars.
In, Peter.
Yeah. We'll get all of the report next
week.
I wonder where people can go. Well, you can go to the Iraq Veterans Against the War website, which is
IVAW.org.
Yeah, IVAW.org. And there's probably lots of other sites. United for Peace and Justice, which is, I'm forgetting all this. UnitedForPeace.org.
Yes.
UnitedForPeace.org. Got to be able to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Dan and Warren. Dan, it's Peter and Jolene. Thanks for joining us at 313-298-WRIF. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, about this thing with the Russians.
Yeah.
I'm Polish. Still have family there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more going on there that you guys probably have heard about or will hear about around here. And I really encourage you to look deeper. For instance, are you aware of the fact that the Russians are flying nuclear-armed bomber planes? They've been doing that for like 4 years now.
Well, are you aware the United States does that all the time? I mean, we've got to get a treaty in place that completes nuclear disarmament for every country in the world, and it's got to be led by the United States. The Russians do not want to maintain a nuclear arsenal. They're incapable of securing it. They're incapable of maintaining it financially. And they've made overtures in the past, but certainly under Bush, these Republicans want to continue this nuclear threat that the United States has the commanding lead in. But it doesn't surprise me the United States, I don't know if they're still doing it, but the United States used to have planes in the air at all times with nuclear bombs.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. They stopped that, years ago. After whatever, they stopped. Both sides stopped that. Putin started that again. Are you familiar with the weapons tests that they conducted about, I think it was 2 years ago, that the Russians conducted?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Which test?
The one, the new non-atomic bomb that's just as powerful as an atomic bomb?
Yeah, well, listen, we're talking about a military power. Much like the United States, that tries to upgrade and improve the nature of its military. I mean, as I said, that the Russians have had, have suffered a lot over the last 175 years with attacks from Western Europe. Unfortunately, Poland is situated in those paths and gets run over by the Soviets, gets run over by the Nazis, and has suffered terrifically throughout the history in that same period.
So it's not okay for them to say, you know what, we want to, we want to protect ourselves. We're part of NATO. Why not?
Who's we here?
The Poles.
Well, okay, but it's not we. You're not a Pole.
Yes, I am.
I thought you're an American.
I am an American, but I'm also Polish.
Yeah, but when you start saying we, man, that's, we're talking about different interests here. Listen, the best thing that Poland can do is to create an alliance with Russia, not with the United States. Why should there even be these military alliances to begin with? I mean, Poland is doing exactly what Georgia did. It's waving the red flag in front of, that's an interesting analogy, but waving a red flag in front of the bull. I mean, who do you think is going to get run over again? You know what? Condoleezza Rice saying, we'll take this as the same as our territory when she made this incredible statement. They couldn't care less. You know, the United States let the Hungarian revolt down in 1956, and she also hinted that the United States would stand with Georgia if they moved to get South Ossetia back, and they didn't do a damn thing. And you know what? The United States wouldn't lift a finger to help Poland if it came down to it. It's nothing but BS.
Kind of like how we didn't help Iraq back in 92?
Something like that, yeah, exactly. George Bush gave the go-ahead for these revolts and then just pulled the rug out for him and let Saddam kill hundreds of thousands of them. Does your last name begin with an F?
An F?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, because someone else named Daniel wrote me a letter about, about this, about, the situation. So, what is the United States even doing over there in the first place? I mean, it's what I keep saying. What if Russia was mucking around in Central America and tried to establish bases in Venezuela and Cuba and had alliances with Canada as part of its sphere of influence? I mean, hey, Canada is pretty close to Russia, isn't it? In fact, it's just, I think, about 30 miles if you go way up to the top of the country. Why shouldn't Canada and Russia have a military alliance? Well, we wouldn't go for that for one second, would we?
You might have a point, but, why do we go to Europe and... 42. What was the point of us? That's Europe. We're America. Why do we go there?
Well, listen, we were attacked by, Germany declared war on us, as I remember. And they were allies with this country that attacked us. We're supposed to be pals. There are some terrible ethnic confrontations in that whole area, and there always have been for a long time. And with the split up of, the Soviet Union, the split up of Yugoslavia, it released a lot of ethnic nationality, nationalism, and what have you. And those haven't been resolved. And I don't mean to say that I've got any simple answer to how do you deal with South Ossetians and all the countries or regions that all of a sudden you say these people are a separate breakaway province. I mean, look, the United States just gave the go-ahead for Kosovo to become an independent country with Russia screaming bloody murder. So Russia thinks, what the hell? So we're going to do the same thing with South Ossetia.
So are you saying we should go into Ossetia?
I'm saying that the United States shouldn't be involved over there at all, that we ought to take care of. I mean, look at Ron Paul. I mean, I got to go to the Republican thing to give it some credibility. Ron Paul said we ought to, dismantle all 700 bases around the world. Why do we have bases all around the world? Why do we have, quote, interests all around the world? I mean, no other country has interests all around the world. Why does the United States?
I saw there's embassies in Chicago, New York.
Embassies. I'm not talking about embassies, but military bases. I mean, what if even like Britain, let alone Russia, had bases in South America and in Canada and all over Asia and all over Europe and what have you? I mean, what are our interests that we're protecting that we have to have hundreds and hundreds of bases costing us hundreds of billions of dollars, in fact, trillions of dollars over the last, decades, that could have been spent instead here in the United States improving our country?
Yeah, it worked pretty good there for a while, though, didn't it?
Yeah, just for a little while, but the chickens are coming home to roost. All right. Thank you, Dan. All right, well, here, the Daniel, then, this is what he wrote. I am one that will, and he sent this in the call talk, yes, at yahoo.com. I sent this back to him after last week's show. I am one that will stand up to just anyone I believe is wrong, including the president. You, on the other hand, are so far-fetched it actually makes me sick to listen to you. How could you say that our government had something to do with the Georgia and Russia thing? You have to be the most anti-American I have ever had the displeasure of ever hearing. Blah, 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 blah. You know, Heil Hitler, Peter Worthless, and Jolene Joke. Move out of my country that I've helped to protect for over 22 years. I'm sure you'll slam this email or not even give a chance for a rebuttal. Pity. Now, here's what I wrote back. Well, gee, Daniel, I'm speechless. I hardly know how to answer your arguments. Oh, oops. There are no arguments. Just plain insults, which I got to tell you.
Name calling.
Yeah, which I tell you, roll off the back of people in our business. So in that regard, you wasted your time. But how about this, Daniel, for a challenge so you can see how I can say what I said. Pardon me. Read the articles on my website, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com, at the top. They may not be at the top. Now, consider them and then write back with a refutation if you still don't agree with what we're saying. I know that's a lot tougher than shouting at people in anger, but it's what critical thinking is all about. How can we say this? Come on, Daniel. These are the people that lied to us about Iraq. Why wouldn't they do the same thing about Georgia and Russia?
Yeah, that was a doozy. I don't think I've ever been given a name before. I felt kind of honored.
Wasn't real good. Peter Worthless, Elaine's name.
But thanks for listening.
Yeah, it's alliteration.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Here's another one. I've actually had this around for a while. Peter, just curious what you think of the writings and philosophy of Ayn Rand. This is from Dean.
God, this always pops up, doesn't it?
And I wrote, so what do I think about the writings and philosophy of Ayn Rand? Bad writing, terrible fiction, lame philosophy. She's stuck in a time warp with Aristotelian concept that philosophers went beyond 200 years ago. Her followers are all right-wing nut jobs. And he writes back, ha ha, well, at least you're consistent, Peter.
That's great.
I love it. 313-298-WRIF is our phone number. And let's see, here is Brian. Brian's in Howell. Hi, Brian. Peter Werbe, Jolene Jordan, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter and Julian. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
Great.
Good. Peter, you being a very insightful fellow, maybe you... said this already, and I don't listen to that every Sunday night, but one thing that concerns me is that the whole Russian-U.S. thing going on at the moment, could this be to scare the U.S. public into thinking Kane is the guy to handle all this and maybe not Obama?
Yes.
Brian, you are so cynical.
Yes.
You are so cynical.
I know. I feel horrible.
Yeah. Some people, if
you're
actually,
so dead on.
If you use, I shouldn't even say that anymore. Most people use computer. If you go to my website, Peter Werbe, and I keep saying the spelling because people usually get it wrong, W-R-B-E, there actually is, let me see, do I have
you
it?
Left the E out. W-E-R-B-E.
It's getting late.
He's getting it wrong.
Yeah. There's an article about that. Is this a maneuver? I mean, was this purposely done?
Right. Arranged, right.
And
arranged.
This is what sent that listener who made those names up for us over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Okay.
I think that, as we've seen in Iraq, that Bushko is capable of doing absolutely anything to retain power. I mean, it's partly psychopathology, but it's also this grand game that you and I finance out of our wages, which is absolutely unnecessary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. All right. I just wanted to bring that out. And,
I'm glad you did.
Like I said, like I thought already, you probably touched on it somewhere.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
I don't think we did completely, but thank you, Brian.
Appreciate
it. Thanks
call.
For calling in. Here's Joel in Madison Heights. Hi, Joel. It's
they
Peter
fight.
And Julian. The what?
Fuck this shit. You put it through the fight, and they fight for you.
Who's that, man?
You're fucking. You're,
oh, you're gone. You're gone. I don't know what the hell. But I remember my first drink too. So enjoy yourself the rest of the evening, but not on the air.
I don't even get what that was, but okay.
I think, well, he waited about a half hour, so, you know, how many beers can you put down in that amount of time? There's actually some couple open lines here. 313-298-WRIF. Here's John in Farmington Hill, or Farmington. Go ahead, John, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter. I just wanted to say I love your show, and I have a question for you. Do you think, possibly that the 911, that the U.S. Could have possibly had something to do with what happened, as far as you know, having something to do, because needing an excuse to go to Iraq, because Bush is in office and they've always wanted to go, but now here's the perfect opportunity, create this and then we can go. Do you think there's any truth? There's a lot of things on the webs.
Yeah, there certainly is on the internet about that the Bush machine actually put this all together, that engineered the destruction of it, of the 9/11. That it doesn't seem. On one hand, it doesn't seem too plausible to me that they actually would have risked something like this. That would have taken probably would have involved hundreds of people. In a conspiracy to bring down these towers through explosive. On the other hand, there are so many unanswered questions. I didn't bring this, but there, you know, this Tower 7, is that the name of it, Julian? The building that dropped about 7 or 8 hours later?
I think so.
Yeah. They said that a fire of such intensity from the trade towers had eroded the structural integrity of this third building, and that collapsed. And they said, no, this never happened to any other building in the world before. And all of it just sort of boggles the imagination. And if you've seen these videos online, like Loose Change and
Zeitgeist
and what have you, you go, whoa.
I know, I saw a bumper sticker yesterday that said something about 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah, that's the thing, 9/11. And I've said, you know, lots of times that Bushko knew another attack was coming, and I doubt whether the insiders actually knew anything about that was going to take this form, but they knew that something like this was going to happen, and when it happened, they had this all planned out. This will all come out. Fortunately, things aren't taking 30 and 40 years to find out that there were lies about World War I, that there were lies about the Vietnam War and all that, when it doesn't matter. Stuff's starting to come out a lot earlier, so we'll probably find out in a few years that Bushko had plans as soon as the next attack came, and they knew an attack was coming, and they were warned any number of times, that they would respond in exactly in the way that they did, including, as you said, use this as an excuse to invade Iraq, because that was the big plum for them. Did they order people out? Did like Cheney's office say, okay, we're dispatching 30 guys to line the World Trade Center with explosives that will, which we will set off exactly when these planes, hit, which, you know, if they were planes and not missiles, I don't know. I can't make any sense of it. But, there's enough unanswered questions that there should be a big and intensive investigation. That's for sure. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Let's see here. Here's Maurice in Detroit. Maurice.
How you doing, Peter?
Yeah, you're not going to say hello to Jalene. Are you mad at her?
I was getting ready to say hello to Jalene.
I was,
cut me off.
I was going to say, I thought you and I were like, you know.
You
okay.
You know, Peter, I've been thinking about this ever since they invaded Iraq.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Iraq be a good jumping off point for an invasion of Russia?
Well, they want bases and.
No, Iraq, Afghanistan. Both of them countries will be a good jump off point for invading Russia. Afghanistan and Iraq, wouldn't it? Those would be good a point.
Well, the United States wants bases in all of those countries and in Central Asia, and has a few in Central Asia that aid in the war against Afghanistan. Yeah, the idea that there'd be these permanent bases to go along with the world's largest embassy the United States has built in Baghdad is another thing that is threatening to the Russians. And I keep using the same analogy, and it would be like Russia had air bases in Mexico and air bases in Canada. That would make us extraordinarily nervous, wouldn't it?
Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
One more thing. The British had bases and all over the world. The United States is doing what the British did, because back when we defeated the British, they didn't go nowhere. It's all about money back then. It's all about money and religion today.
You got it. Thank you, Maurice. Appreciate
Maurice,
your call.
Maurice, making as sense you... once again, Peter.
Yeah, once again. Right. Here's Garrett in Grosse Pointe Park. Hi, Garrett. You're on the air.
Hi there, Jalene and Peter.
Hi.
Peter, you had mentioned Ron Kovic earlier in the show, right at the beginning, I believe, and who was the Vietnam veteran that turned anti-war.
Right.
And who was portrayed in Born of the or not? Born of the 4th of July. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. That book and then that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking about a book called The Spitting Image, which I read. It came out in 98, I think, a while ago.
Sure.
And the guy that wrote it, the author, is a sociologist somewhere, and he doing research for the book on this idea that anti-war protesters spat on veterans coming home, and you know, you always hear that story. And he couldn't find, he went through all these different news sources and all this different media and everything, and he couldn't find a single instance of that ever happening. And
at the time. At the time, there was no reports of it. Yeah, I don't know why I can't think of his name, but I've interviewed him a couple of times, and actually I had him on as a guest when Jalene and I were doing a daily nationally syndicated show longer than any other guest, and there were people calling in that said they'd been spit on, and they told these stories. And this is astounding, because like you said, at the time, there wasn't ever a single report of that in any news account whatsoever. Yet, if you just counted up the number of people that called me and said they were spit upon and extrapolated, it would have meant thousands of men walking off of planes were attacked by these long-haired effete hippies and spit upon. And the story ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's a hippie. Sometimes it's actually an anti-war demonstrator. Actually, who were spat up? I would amend what I said about there weren't cases of spitting. The people that were spit upon were the publicly active duty, let me put it another way, active duty GIs who publicly took part in anti-war demonstrations, because as you know, there was incredible anti-war fervor among the troops themselves, even the ones that were fighting. So every anti-war demonstration during the 1960s and 1970s were first and foremost led by lines of active duty GIs, guys that were in the service, and that this was contrary to military rules. Then they were followed by veterans of other wars, and then, you know, other people, another couple hundred thousand people behind them. And those people were on several occasions spat upon. These were active duty GIs who were anti-war, and they were spat upon by right-wing pro-war people. And
right. Ron Kovic himself, I think, was spat upon at the Republican convention, actually, in 68, I believe. So,
yeah. And is he...
the anniversary of that this year, too. So
yeah. Is he missing his legs, or do you remember?
He was paralyzed.
Paralyzed. I remember the story.
He lost the use of his legs, but...
Peter, that author is Jerry Lemke.
Jerry Lemke.
The Spitting Image, Myth, Memory, and the Legacy of Vietnam.
And I don't know. I mean, I always get afraid to even mention this, because we will start, the phones will start ringing off the hook. I was spit upon, you know.
I was going to say, have you set this phone call always sets the tone for the rest of a show, you know.
So, but here, let me.
That or the Confederate flag.
Yeah. Don't even, I mean, the flag of the greatest traitors that Americans have ever known. Yeah. Why would patriotic Americans fly the flag of the flag of, never mind. I'm getting too confused.
It gets you going.
Yeah. But, here's what people have to face if there were, and in fact, it started off with this, this columnist, Bob Green, who got something like 1,500 letters from guys that said they were spat upon. So you'd think, well, this is a mass phenomena. I mean, you were more likely to get spat upon than not when you returned from, Vietnam. And yet, as you correctly said, there is no contemporary reports of that whatsoever. And the press was uniformly into negative reporting of the anti-war movement. If there would have been two, I mean, there was never a photograph. Why is there never a photograph? Why isn't, also that started was in that film during the 70s, Coming Home with John Voight.
Yeah, that's one that I was thinking of before that.
And he spat upon. I can't remember even the circumstances of it. And so it is, and you tell guys this, and I told it right to their face. I said, this is false memory. And, you know, if someone would call me up and they say, I got spat upon, I guess I don't say, you're a liar. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to call up and try
to... Well, it's a really emotional subject. I mean, maybe a lot of people say that to try to convey their feelings across about, you know, how they felt about Vietnam, you know, like, but, you know, I guess that's how myths get made.
Yeah. But anyway, the Ron Kovic book, K-O-V-I-C, Born on the 4th of July, is a very sad and very heartening story. And also the movie. Who was in the movie? Who played
Tom Cruise.
He did play a few good roles, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Tom,
Scientology.
Thanks. Thanks, Garrett.
Yeah, bye.
Appreciate your call. All right. Where are we now? We are right here. Here's Ken in Detroit. Ken, hi. It's Peter and Jane. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry.
Hey, yeah. Ken.
What's going on the phone? I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to swear. What do you think about Germany? Or not Germany, but Georgia and their USA?
What do I think about them? I don't know. What do you think about them?
It's not good.
Well, what's happening is a lot of people in the Republican Party, including John McCain especially, is really pushing to support Georgia, which is only going to inflame things with Russia.
Yeah.
In a real basic way for you there.
And we find out that one of John McCain's advisors was actually a paid lobbyist for Georgia. And this Mikhail Saakashvili, the president, is a darling of the conservative right in this country.
And
so
it's a supposed democracy, but what he's doing is slowly chipping away at every bit of democracy there even is in that country.
Yeah, calling it a democracy really kind of confounds the criticism that many, many people have made of it. Thank you, Ken. Look out for the lies, though. They're always there. I mean, look out for mine.
Question everything. I love that bumper sticker.
Yeah, question my stuff, too. Here's Roger in Fenton. Roger, it's Peter and Jolene. Thanks for calling 313-298-WRI if you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, how are you doing tonight, guys?
Good, Roger.
I'm blessed. First of all, Peter, you're giving the mafia a bad name. They've never killed as many people or stolen as much money.
As... Bushko?
Yeah, Bushko, yeah. I mean, you know, we got to cut them a little break. I mean, they were never that corrupt.
Did I call them the mafia? I think Jalene did.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. They've never took as many lives or stole as many billions of dollars.
Yeah.
But
besides, it was only business.
Yeah.
Yeah, what gets me, you know, all the way back, you know, I've called in about the Unocal deal and the pipeline from years ago, which, you know, everything's documented, reverts back. It's like the Luis Gonzalez, you know. Here's a right-hand puppet that was putting people from junior college in.
Into positions in the Justice Department.
Yeah, with 1 month experience, and I heard one guy as a Democrat had 10 years experience, a graduate from Harvard, and he had to report this girl from a junior college because he didn't have the same views.
Well, yeah, because she was a right-wing Republican. But what is the most important thing is what I said earlier, Roger, and is that these people in the Justice Department that violated statutes of the United States, and there should be some indictments, but, of course, with Bush's handpicked, well, they'd all be handpicked, but a man who people thought was going to clean up the mess that Gonzalez left, why isn't he being indicted for all the lies and all the skullduggery that he was involved in? There ought to be people, going to jail for all of this. Thank you, Roger. I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
I want you all to know.
This is the greatest country in the world.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this.
This is my car.
My car?
I don't know how I lived without it.
Local car fanatics. Join the Riff Cyber Crew for free today at WRIF.com and get signed up for the Riff Muscle Car Club. Get special invitations for upcoming WRIF Muscle Car Club events with a chance to win Best in Show, Best Paints, Best Engine, and Best Interior. One lucky Riff Muscle Car Club member will be front and center with a Riff at the 2009 Autorama. Sign up now with the Riff Cyber Crew at WRIF.com. It's totally free. The WRIF Muscle Car Club. Brought to you by Glendale Auto Supply. Shop a real auto parts store at 101.
Your neighborhood Glendale Auto Supply wants to help get your car or boat ready for the rigors of summer with their Saturday 1010 Oil Change Special. Every Saturday, WRIF listeners can receive a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Offer available 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at all 6 Glendale Auto Supply locations. Just mention you heard this on 101 WRIF and get a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Find out why over 400 local repair shops choose Glendale Auto Supply when they need parts. Maybe it's time you find out what the pros know. A premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Exclusively for WRIF listeners, Saturdays at Glendale Auto Supply with 6 convenient locations throughout Metro Detroit. Located in Farmington, Livonia, Southfield, Walled Lake, Dearborn Heights, and Lake Orion. Or log on at GlendaleAutoSupply.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Dan from the Cherry Hill Dental Center. I know you're streaming Riff. I do too. And I know you're probably at work and have to keep this quiet, but I want to interrupt for a minute to tell you about our incredible Zoom whitening offer. Now through Labor Day, Cherry Hill Dental Center has Zoom whitening for only $2.99. That's right, $2.99. I'm sorry, but our summer Zoom whitening sale only happens once a year. Once it's gone, it's gone. You know, nothing looks better than a beaming white smile next to a golden brown tan. Or maybe you need a smile makeover. Transform your smile and get that promotion or the attention of that certain someone. Get where I'm going with this? Write this down. Call right now or during your lunch hour to schedule your appointment. Call 734-427-2880. That's 734-427-2880. Or check us out at CherryHillDental.com. Get the smile. Get the confidence.
Do you owe the IRS $15,000 or more in back taxes? Are you worried about wage garnishments, bank levies, and IRS seizures? Call American Tax Relief. If you qualify, now you could settle your tax debts for less than you owe. Just call 800-493-8159. American Tax Relief has helped thousands of honest, hardworking Americans settle their tax debts for less. stop garnishments and levies, and remove penalties and interest. Their staff of experts will work hard to get you the best possible settlement you qualify for. With experienced, knowledgeable professionals on your side, you can save money as well as time and stress. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 800-493-8159. American Tax Relief can help you get the fresh start you're looking for. Call right now. 800-493-8159. That's 800-493-8159.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code Cisco to get a free trial and a free webcam too. Remember that code, Cisco, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code Cisco. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
I'm Spartacus. 313-298-WRIF. I just looked at my website, peterwerby.com, and realized I didn't save the work that I did on it. So some of the stuff that I've been telling you to look at, including I had all this information about our guest at 1 a.m., who I got to do it by memory. Sally Castleman. That's right. She is the chair of Election Defense Alliance. And this is about essentially what we've always said. It documents how the Republicans stole the election in 2000 and 2004 through vote suppression. I mean, it is astounding the lines that to vote in 2004 in districts that they knew were going to vote for primarily for Kerry. So in college campuses and in African American districts, some people were waiting like in line 8 hours in the rain. Well, naturally, thousands and thousands of people gave it up.
Yes.
So there was a vote suppression like that. I mean, and the elections were run by the Secretary of State who controlled the voting. Just like Cruella in 2000.
Oh,
what was her name?
Catherine Harris.
Catherine Harris, yeah. It was the same thing. She controlled the voting process. And like, and the guy Blackwell, who was the Secretary of State for Ohio in 2004, they both were chairs in the respective years of the Bush election campaign. I mean, talk about even giving the impression of not being fair. So also, there's not enough voting machines in the areas where people would vote for Kerry, and then they have these things where Kerry's way ahead, and suddenly, whoop, it all switches in these electronic voting machines.
Yeah.
And they were talking about people that that would go into the booth, they would click on Kerry, and the thing would jump to Bush. And
yes.
It said, thank you for voting, and show you, this is who you voted for. And they go, no, and they click Kerry again, and poof, goes back to Bush.
Well, it's Diebold, owned by Diebold. We know that story,
right.
Which is a staunch Republican.
Yeah, who said he would do anything to get George Bush reelected.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like rigged voting machines,
right.
Perhaps.
So there's a film.
And we're not big conspiracy people here, but I don't know that
but
one.
But there are conspiracies. There are conspiracies.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's who stole the 2000 and 2004 election. That's one of the reasons we're in the jam that we are. Because I talked with her in the interview with Sally Castleman about the complicity of the Democrats because they didn't do anything. I mean, what should have happened was Gore and Kerry should have called millions of people out into the street and said, look, this is being stolen from us, that Bush lost in 2000 and he lost in 2004. And, the votes. So, like, OK, so we want to take a look at the Ohio votes to see how that all went down. They've all gone. They've all disappeared.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, this is not making people really want to go
vote. Surprising.
Yeah. So anyway, the film opened. Oh, I'm sorry. Film? What film? I did mention there was a film. It's called Stealing America, Vote by Vote.
Yeah.
And you can go to stealingamericathemovie.org, or you can go to electiondefensealliance.org and find out all about this. The film, Stealing America, Vote by Vote, that we talk about in our interview, is going to be playing at the main theater in Royal Oak, Michigan. If you're elsewhere, if you're listening somewhere else on the planet, you can just go to that website, stealingamericathemovie.org, and they'll tell you where it's playing around your place. It's hard to, usually when people say they're shocked, I always say, I'm shocked you're shocked. But this is truly, truly shocked. Shocking. Here's Jason in Shelby Township. Jason, hi, it's Peter and Jolene. Thanks for joining us on WRIF.
How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Well, my question is, why do you think so many people are so eager to complain and there's so few who are actually ready to organize about what they're complaining about?
Well, that's the question. That is the big jackpot question. And mainly is, you know, at different times, we were talking about the 60s, people had a big anti-war movement and other, you know, women's movement, gay movement, stuff like that. During the 1950s, that's where this enormous civil rights movement, the people demanded to be treated like human beings. In the 1930s, there was this enormous union movement. You go back through history and we see all that. There's not anywhere that people can hook on into very easily. I mean, there are people doing things around our city and our country, but it doesn't have mass proportions. And right now, I think that people have mostly put their eggs all in one basket, the people that are complaining, and they think, just hopefully, Barack Obama will save us. Well, I don't put much confidence in that. I mean, I hope he wins, but it takes the people in action. The people ultimately make history. Well, I shouldn't say that. The elite politicians, the generals, the financiers, they will make history if we let them, if we're the ones that are following them. You know, I don't know. Did you ever see V for Vendetta?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, remember?
I'm actually a November 5th baby.
Okay. You remember that line that he said that the people should not be afraid of the government. The government should be afraid of the people. And
exactly.
It's not like that now. It's not like that now at all. They don't even feel they have to cater to us. They actually feel they can scare us so badly that we'll just buy anything. Anything.
It seems like way too much of the mass media is catering toward our baser instincts, and it's almost insulting.
Well, yeah, but I think
it is insulting.
It is insulting because what I always say, how dumb do they think we are? They think we're real dumb.
Well, and a lot of people, I don't want to call them dumb, but they're just kind of brainwashed.
Well, if you keep watching that stuff, if that becomes your cultural and educational frame of reference, you're going to come up with the conclusions and the impressions that they want to place into your brain. That's why I always say try to watch as little television as possible. If you want news and analysis, you don't go to CNN, you don't go to Fox, you got to...
TheNation.com is really a good one.
Yeah, stuff like that. You got to sit back, you got to read, you got to consider this stuff. You can't get it by... Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So few people are willing to look at the other person's perspective at how people in the foreign country are actually looking at our actions. What are they saying about us in their news right now?
Yeah, we are hated around the world. We are really, really hated.
Well, usually, and I hope people are still making this distinction between our government and us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I've traveled over to Europe, the one time that I've gone over there, people weren't that way toward me, you know, at all. So I didn't, and people said, oh, you're going to France? Good luck. Well, I thought, I'm the one who participated in support the French Day. Remember that,
right,
Peter?
We do. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call, Jason. Good question, though. Here is Eric in Oak Grove. Where's Oak Grove, Eric? Eric, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you there, Peter. North of Howell, about 10 miles there, Roger.
No, okay. I thought maybe it was Illinois.
No.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
What do you think about all this Bigfoot?
Oh, the
oh, I thought you meant my feet. No, that fake. No, it was obvious a fake, but I mean, I'm curious why, of all the subjects in the world, you brought that up. What was
Why aren't we talking about Nessie?
Yeah.
The Loch Ness. I'm going to a Napoleon Dynamite reference. Sorry,
okay.
Peter.
Okay.
I worked with this older gentleman. He told me his sister-in-law and her husband hit a deer, and they stopped to look at it. This was in Wisconsin. And a Bigfoot come out of the woods and grabbed the deer and took it back in the woods. Come on.
Wow. That's a good Loch Ness movie. What was it called? Water... It was just recently.
I didn't see it.
You know the other part of the, it's water something. It just came out. It was about this kid finds his little baby, you know.
It just came out?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it within the last year.
I was going to say, was it, are you going back to like Jurassic Park or something?
Oh, sort of like that, yeah. Hey, thanks a lot, Eric, up there in Oak Grove. Okay,
we need to blast
here's
through
Kevin and Troy. Oh, no. Kevin, hi, it's Peter and Jillian.
Hey, Jillian, Peter.
Yeah. Hi.
Pleasure. Definitely a pleasure. I just a couple of questions for you guys, because I'm kind of like on the fence, so I'm looking at it both ways.
Well, hop on over. Come on.
they say the guy that rides the fence gets a sore crotch.
So I was thinking that. I was trying to say how to do it delicately.
Yes.
But go ahead.
And no gold bond powder is going to fix that one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Well, one of the main things that worries me about the popular candidate, you know, is he just, in comparison, he just seems so young to most of the other people that have ever been in that position. And his experience and different things like that. I've heard, you know, a lot of different things. What exactly is his experience? What exactly has he done?
Who are you talking about?
About Barack Obama. Yeah, well, the experience, he's been in a senator. What you really need is somebody who is a capable administrator and who has a level head on their shoulders. And nobody can come into the presidency with, you know, I'll tell you, the person that had probably the most experience of anyone was George Bush's father, who was, I don't know if he had the best experience. He was, the head of the
CIA
Central Intelligence Agency.
Yeah.
But if you think of the presidents that came in, I mean, just go right up the line from, for instance, the modern history. Roosevelt, he was the governor of New York.
And Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, who was, he was the governor of California.
Yeah, he was.
But
an actor as
An actor. Harry Truman.
And he was a damn good actor.
Yeah.
In the presidency, anyway. Yeah,
exactly. Harry Truman, who people said, whoa, this guy's not ready for the job. Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter. I mean, what you really need, and every president has that, are advisors that are long-term political analysts.
Like Bush had.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
from his daddy.
Except he didn't listen to them because we never did. Richard Thompson, wasn't that the name of the security expert from the Clinton administration that kept urging Bush on to pay more attention to the possibility of terrorism in the United States. The idea that Obama is young. I mean, is he young? He's not younger. He's not younger than Kennedy was. It wasn't Kennedy young.
How old is he?
He's 46. Obama's 46.
He is.
I think Kennedy
was 42, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was a little younger. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think it's, for instance, if say that Barack Obama was president and the next, on January 21st, something happened like just happened with Russia and Georgia. Well, he wouldn't just say, okay, let's do this or let's do nothing. He would call in his advisors and, as all presidents do, and think, what are the options? What can we do here? What's going to be the effect on our long-term interests? What's going to be the effect on the Georgians? How are the Russians going to play this?
Absolutely, absolutely. I can completely understand that, but it obviously the final decision ends up being his. So, I mean, it just seems like he's, just his experience and different things. Like, he just seems kind of young. Makes me a little bit nervous.
Well, but, I'll tell you what makes me nervous is somebody like John McCain.
Who wants to build a million more nuclear power
only
plants.
Only 45, don't...
Okay,
don't,
right.
No, the experience apparently hasn't done him any good because he affirms the George Bush foreign policy. So I think we could get your next-door neighbor could do better than that. All right. Thank you very much. Got to rush through some calls now. Here's Ryan in Plymouth. Ryan, hi. It's Peter and Jalene. You're on the air.
Hey, you guys do a great job.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Look, I'm probably as liberal as the next guy, but I was hoping maybe you could explain something to me. All the 60s-era radicals get all starry-eyed when they talk about the 68 Democratic Convention and... And, you know, Daley's cops were thugs, but at the end of the day, you know, Nixon was in office for 6 years, and a lot of people tell you that the fallout of that was is that people thought that the Democratic Party had swung too far left and was comprised of too many left-wing radicals. Now we're talking about doing rallies and protesting at the Democratic National Convention and Rage Against the Machine and, you know, I don't see what good it does. You have the one candidate that might give you a shot of reversing some of these policies and go there and make a display at that convention. Why not go to the Republican convention and raise some hell? Why go after people who might actually be sympathetic to where you're coming from? Not saying you, but...
No, I think
they are. There's going to be huge protests.
At the Republican convention.
Huge.
Yeah. I don't have... I think you... Oh, boy. If you just Google RNC, or no
Indie Media, isn't it?
I think it's norNC.org. But if you put in protest RNC or, you know, Republican National Committee, you'll get what's going to go on in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Well, the idea is from the left wing of, I don't know, that even of the Democrats or just radicals or people that want an immediate end to the war in Iraq, they're frightened that, or fearful is a better way to put it, they're fearful that Obama is moving to the center, as politicians often do. Although Bush went the opposite. He kind of portrayed himself as a centrist and a uniter. Remember that? I'm a uniter. And then moved quickly to the far right where he's stayed forever.
He couldn't have moved any quicker.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
It was warped speed.
Warped speed for a warped guy. Here's Ron. Ron, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to talk about Tom Hartman's revelation concerning the fraud of over 120-plus years concerning corporate personhood. I mean, I'd like to comment on some of the other things that have been said this evening because, you know, I'm unhappy with some of your responses. But I got to propose this because it really disturbs me that it most certainly isn't part of the Democratic Party's plank. I'm not aware of anybody in the Democratic Party discussing this. But according to Hartman, the corporations do not have personhood. The Supreme Court in 1886 did not rule that they are persons. Therefore, they do not have protection under the Bill of Rights. Therefore, they can, in fact, be prohibited from lobbying. They can, in fact, be prohibited from all the corruption that they're involved with. They can be controlled.
Well, I agree with you, and I agree with Tom Hartman, who's a colleague of ours, and we once broadcast on the same network, Jalene and I, with him. And Hartman is one of the brainiest guys in the whole field here. I mean, and his work in uncovering exactly what you said, and if that went by too fast for people, or figured people, what the hell are you talking about, is that corporations used to be forbidden from trying to influence legislation, but because of a misreading of a Supreme Court decision back in the 19th century, they got the right of free speech, which means, like Dylan said, that money doesn't talk, it swears. But Ron, thanks for bringing that up, and I got to end it right here, unfortunately, so my apologies to Ryan and John and Michael and other people that are stranded here. We'll get you next week. Stay tuned for the interviews. Jalene Jordan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Al.
We haven't been saying this all along. We are not going to be on next week, are we?
Right. The holiday weekend, and so they'll be running some concert specials, but we'll be back.
Yeah.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more Night Call right after this.
Hi, I'm Adam Helfand from HireItDone.com. Most homeowners don't know where to go today to find an honest contractor. Well, I have the answer for you. It's HireItDone.com. If you live in Metro Detroit and you're thinking of fixing up your home, then you need to visit HireItDone.com right now and let my pre-screened contractors compete for your business. Are you looking for new energy-efficient windows or perhaps a roof that won't leak? How about the big addition with a custom kitchen and granite countertops or just an honest, trustworthy handyman? All you have to do is remember this. Visit HireItDone.com.
Saving money just got easier at Motor City Steals and Deals. Check out the Bargain Bin Blowout Sale now at MotorCitySteelsAndDeals.com, where you can get gift certificates to businesses all over Metro Detroit for $10 and under. Amazing deals include certificates to Alpha Lifestyle Center in Birmingham, Dominic's Fine Jewelry in Sterling Heights, Master K's Karate, Leather Depot in Chesterfield Township, Computer Design and Service, and the Jewelry Depot in Brighton. Hurry to get your Motor City Steals and Deals bargains while they last.
More romance, more intimacy, more often, lovers lane.
Take your love life to that special place. Find that perfect gift for the one you adore at the ultimate store for couples, Lover's Lane. With the summer heating up, it's time to check out Lover's Lane's exclusive collection of provocative swimwear. A day at the beach or lounging poolside, Lover's Lane swimwear styles will definitely get you noticed. Lover's Lane is the home of the 1 cent panty sale every day. Buy one pair of panties for $4.95. Get the second pair for just one penny every day of the year. So how do you keep your romance going? Get in the Lover's Lane, the perfect place for all your lingerie and bedroom essential needs, including gifts for birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, or just because.
More romance, more intimacy, more romance, Lover's Lane.
The Landing Strip.
The Landing Strip.
Home of the 375 beer. Everything at Detroit's hottest adult night spot is half off every Wednesday.
9 p.m.
Drinks? You bet your parched mouth they are. Dances? Oh, yeah. Half off, baby. Plus, you'll get a free adult DVD with every dance. Get 10 dances, get 10 DVDs. Cool yourself with your favorite adult beverage for half off on Wednesdays.
Then have all your wildest fantasies come true with one of the hottest showgirls in the state for, you guessed it, half off on Wednesdays.
And build your collection of adult DVDs with every dance. Drinks and dances are half off on Wednesday. Half off all drinks and half off dances plus free adult DVDs with every dance. It's half off Wednesday.
Till 9 p.m.
Only at the home of the 375 beer, the Landing Strip.
The Landing Strip.
Just minutes west of Detroit Metro Airport. Every Tuesday night is WRIF night. The van from 101 The Riff is here live every Tuesday night.
WRIF will be live at Belle Isle all weekend long and Saturday, August 30th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Carlini will be broadcasting live from the Bosch tent. Come on by and see all the Bosch clean diesel-powered vehicles while you're there.
Imagine rushing to the hospital with a heart attack, only to find the doctors who can save your life aren't there. They're on call, so they have to be paged and then drive into the hospital. It happens every day. This is Mike Duggan. In 5 years at DMC, I've learned that hospitals aren't always set up for patients' convenience. Every minute your blood flow is blocked, a little more of your heart dies. And the very best hospitals take 90 minutes to 2 hours to start your angioplasty. Until now, at the DMC. DMC's new cardio team 1 at Harper Hospital and Detroit Receiving is cutting that time in half, often under 45 minutes, because DMC's cardio team 1 doctors are never on call. They're on site, in the hospital, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Michigan's most renowned heart doctors who together have done more than 50,000 successful angioplasties. DMC cardio team 1, the fastest way to save your heart. Go to Detroit.
Kick off your Labor Day festivities in style as you and your closest friends party with WRIF live from your backyard with an acoustic performance from Saving Able. Keep it locked on the Riff to win tickets for Saving Able. August 28th at Clutch Cargos. Then, you and your friends could catch Saving Able before they rock Clutch Cargos in a private, intimate setting of, your place. We'll even bring the Hooters girls and some wings to get the party started. The Backyard Brouhaha with Saving Able from Mobile One, a T-Mobile exclusive dealer. For the location nearest you, go to mymobile1.com and 101 WRIF.
Everything that sucks.
Now, Night Call is back on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's your host, Peter Werby.
Thank you very much for joining me. Peter Werby here with you. Well,
lot of political events beginning, particularly the conventions. You're listening to this on Sunday. I'm recording this on Friday before. And Monday, the Democratic Party convention commences in Denver. And we're told from the beginning of our childhood, when we go into a civics class, when we hear from every definition of what citizenship is about, it's about voting. And we all know every good citizen votes. We also know that close to half of eligible voters don't even take the opportunity during presidential election years. And there is some problems with voting, and ones that I have been aware of, ones that have been pretty much swept under the rug. But there's an astounding film that is now at the main theater in Royal Oak. It's going to be there through Thursday. It's called Stealing America, Vote by Vote. And joining me in the studios today is Sally Castleman. She's National Chair of the Election Defense Alliance, and she's involved with the film Stealing America. She's the grassroots coordinator, the grassroots outreach coordinator for the film Stealing America. Sally Castleman, also originally a Detroiter, and back visiting our city. Sally Castleman, welcome to the Peter Werby Show.
Thank you, Peter, for having me.
Yeah, well, welcome again. And give us a synopsis of the film and how your group, Election Defense Alliance, ties into this all.
Okay. Well, the film gives a full context of our current election crisis. We have a very, very dramatic crisis in our electoral system. And the film does not talk just about 2000 or just about 2004. It gives the full context both politically and historically and technically of what has been going on in our elections over the years, and especially exacerbated in the last probably 10 years with the increase in electronic computerized voting.
Mm-hmm. Your website, which is electiondefensealliance.org, says in the topic under the link about us, it says Election Defense Alliance is building a national citizen movement to expose electoral fraud. Now, there's been charges that both the 2000 and the 2004 election were stolen by Bush and Gore. In fact, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says irrefutable evidence, that's what the film, Stealing America, that Bush-Cheney stole Ohio in 2004. Those are pretty serious charges.
Yes, they are. And I would also just add before I speak more about it that we also have incredible evidence about 2002 and 2006. Even though the Democrats did take back the House and the Senate, there would probably have been maybe 20 more House seats and maybe 2 more Senate seats if the election had not been rigged electronically. The film also shows the overt fraud, all of the various dirty tricks that have reached whole new heights in disenfranchising voters and keeping them from voting, or making sure that when they finally maybe possibly do get to vote, they vote on provisional ballots, many of which are never counted. So the film covers that whole issue too, as well as the more covert electronic computerized fraud, which the mainstream media has not touched at all.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that if this was such a hot issue, one would think that the mainstream media, the corporate media, would be all over this, or that the Democratic Party itself would be saying, hey, the election was stolen from us. But I don't think either John Kerry or Al Gore says that what you say, and actually I agree with, that both elections were fraudulent.
I can't speak for the Democratic Party. It is quite a wonderment that they have been what feels like at least condoning this. They have been incredibly silent. The media, the mainstream media, feels like they're really complicit. It feels like perhaps they benefit from this regime. I don't even call it an administration. I call it a regime. I mean, we have a corporatocracy in this country now, and the mainstream media is very corporatized. And we have spoken, we have been interviewed, we've given stories to some very courageous journalists, and they turn out to not be allowed to broadcast or not be allowed to publish, to print.
Both of those, I think we mentioned earlier before the broadcast, have been interviewed on this station, and that's Mark Crispin Miller and also Greg Pallast, both who have incredible information to share and are virtually shut out. Now, people like yourself, your organization, Greg Pallast, me, Mark Crispin Miller, we're called conspiracy theorists. That if their elections were stolen, we're sort of in the same ballpark as the 9/11 conspiracy theorists. How do you react to that?
Well, for one thing, we need to use a lot of circumstantial evidence because we're not allowed to have the raw data. So in some states, if you go to the Secretary of State or to the city clerk or town clerk after an election and ask to see the data, they will say the vendor owns it. Excuse me? The vendor owns our votes? So we don't even, we have to use all kinds of other kinds of data which bring people to say, oh, well, you're just theorizing. But when you talk about Ohio in 04, I do want to say, and there have been many books written, although, of course, they original publishers pull out when they hear what it's more about what it's about or when they get pressured. And so a lot of these books have been self-published but or publishers that aren't mainstream. But there is a new book out called by Richard Hayes Phillips called Witness to a Crime.
Mm-hmm.
And it is incredibly detailed analysis of data that he actually was able to obtain in Ohio. And he had a team of people who were allowed to photograph ballots and then use those copies. And he is he did an amazing analysis, which sort of is a smoking gun if there ever was one in Ohio.
Now, there's all sorts of people that are interviewed in the film, Stealing America Vote by Vote, and this is going to be at the Main Theater in Royal Oak through this coming Thursday. And maybe the most improbable one is Paul Craig Roberts, who is a former Assistant Secretary of Treasury under Reagan. And he was actually called the father of Reaganomics, and he also was a former editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal. So certainly not what we would call a traditional liberal. And he says that this issue about voting fraud, about machine malfunctioning, either in purposely or accidentally, about people being not allowed to vote in a manner that we'll talk about in just a little while, he says this is not a partisan issue. This is actually a constitutional issue. This is not about the right and the left. This is not about the liberals and the conservatives. Yet it is us, mostly on the left, that are talking about it. The Republicans, though, have not really been harmed by this, have they?
Well, not currently, no. And it turns out that, well, as one of my colleagues says, it's not a partisan issue, but the stench seems to be coming from one direction primarily these days. And the four or five, they keep merging and changing their names, but there are four or five major companies that produce the voting machines. And they are all owned, not by self-respecting Republicans, but by very partisan neocons. And what we have, where we are today is approximately 90% of our votes are counted in secret. We're supposed to vote in secret, but we're supposed to have citizen oversight of our counting. And our votes are counted by bits and bytes and circuitry inside of black boxes. And there is no way to know what goes on in there. And it's been proven that every single kind of electronic equipment that's used in our elections can be hacked, can be rigged without leaving a trace. So one person can change the outcome of a state election.
And we've seen demonstrations of that several times on cable TV. I mean, I rarely watch television. I've seen it twice. You know, it's interesting that at the beginning of the film, Stealing America, Vote by Vote, they say that there's a long history of voting fraud in this country, and that's certainly true. And in this pretty funny little episode where Stephen Colbert is interviewing Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who said that the film that he's in provides irrefutable evidence that Bush Cheney stole Ohio in 2004. As Stephen Colbert says, was this worse or was what your uncle did in Illinois in 1960? Because it's long been thought that the machine
political machine,
Richard Daley, yeah, the Daley machine stole the stuffed the ballots. It probably did a lot more primitive than is going on now. And the idea was, though, that Nixon and the Republicans didn't say anything. And so the fact that Gore said nothing, the fact that Kerry said nothing after what we're saying were stolen elections, that it's just sort of maintaining, if you will, the integrity of the system. But it's sort of a weird way to promote integrity.
Two things I'd like to say. One is on the film, there's somebody who's also a Republican named Chuck Herron, who's a security expert, a computer security expert, and he points out that it takes a lot of time and a lot of people to change 10,000 votes or to stuff a ballot box worth 10,000 votes, and it takes a few seconds with a computer to change 10,000 votes, and that's what's been going on, is that we've always had election fraud. And it's very labor-intensive. You need a group of people, lots and lots and lots of places, and a lot of people in on the fix. With electronics, one person can change the outcome of an election and not leave a trace. As far as the false integrity of our elections, it's actually coming to be the false sense that we're still living in a democracy. Because if we're not swearing into office those people we truly elect, we're no longer living in a democracy. And, if the tanks were rolling down Pennsylvania Avenue, we'd know that there'd been a coup. But it's much more subtle than that. And the film points that out. We are being taken over by people who have control of our elections. And they've been outsourced. They've been privatized. And they can be rigged from the inside. They can be rigged from the outside. We don't have any control over who programs these computers. Some of them we know have criminal records. Some of them have served jail time for embezzlement. This is not a trivial issue. It's enormous.
Yeah. Sally Castleman is my guest on the Peter Werbe Show. She's the national chair of the Election Defense Alliance. She's also here in Detroit along with the film Stealing America, Vote by Vote. It's right now at the Main Theater in Royal Oak. And she's the grassroots outreach coordinator for the film. And if you attend the film, which I hope you do this week, you may see Sally there, and there'll be information about how we can fight back against this. But let's talk a little more about what the this is and what I just said. So it almost would be discouraging people to vote. Like, I'm thinking, why should I go vote this November when there may be somebody outside of the voting booth, a little laptop that's changing my vote to the opposite of what I had? I mean, go ahead.
It's a really good question, and it's very possible someone's sitting outside, even across the street with a wireless device. But it's one of the things we try to emphasize is we all have to vote. We need to vote. We need to get everybody to vote, because the larger the margin, the harder it is to get away rigging an election. That if any race that's going to be a landslide is that much harder to rig.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you could just tell us a couple of the scenes in Stealing America, Vote by Vote, and maybe flesh out the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. quote, that irrefutable evidence that Bush Cheney stole Ohio in 2004. It's one of the, and the value of films like this to me is I knew a good deal of the information in there, but it's the kind of thing you never realize it was quite as bad as all of that. Like, for instance, I knew there were long lines in Ohio to the point where that many, many hundreds, maybe even thousands, people don't even know, people gave up. Could you tell us a little, 2004, there was this incredible turnout of the electorate, and yet the lines were, how long? I remember that some of people had to wait 12 hours?
Yes, 12 hours, and in the rain. I mean, it was just, and as you'll see in the film, there were other parts of Ohio where people went in and voted and left. And this was a very, very intentional, schemed out. It was very, you'll see in the film that this entire issue of electoral fraud has been building over time. And has been a long-term plan. And each election, things are gotten away with. The following year, they continue to use them and then add more and more and more tricks. So one of the things that is happening this year, for instance, and I'll get back to Ohio, but one of the things that's happening this year is it is projected that 6 million people in targeted states have been purged or taken off the voting rolls. So when they go to vote, their name won't be there. And they'll say, well, I've been voting this place for 30 years. And they'll be told, well, I'm sorry, your name isn't on the list.
Won't they get a provisional ballot or no?
Well, it depends. In some states, most states they're allowed to, but a lot of the poll workers won't tell them that. And it's absolutely better to vote provisional than not to vote at all. But they really should demand a real ballot that goes in like everybody else's. And what we're really pushing people to do, and this is everybody, to check online that you're still registered. And I think the website is votepoke.org, V-O-T-E-P-O-K-E. I think that's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
And it tells you if you're registered. And you need to check back just before the deadline for registering, which is sometime in October. There's a website for Stealing America. It's called stealingamerica.org. And there, part of that website is an action site. I think it's called Get Active. And there are a lot of steps there for everybody to get involved. Some are just one-time easy things that everybody can do. One is just stay informed and tell everybody. Talk about it. Bring it up. Spoil somebody's day and let them know our democracy is hanging by a thread. And some things are much more involved and take more commitment. Checking that you're registered is on that site. It's under the category of what everybody can do, and it has the link to the website. And if you find you're not registered, then there's another site where you can go and just fill it out online, print it out, and mail it in to get yourself re-registered, and then check and make sure you still are. And spread this word to everybody you know, especially in communities that you would expect would be targeted. The poor, the elderly, people of color, students, the usual suspects.
Yeah, go over students a little and bring us back to Ohio, because I had always heard that there was a great suppression of the student vote and that they'd made it as inconvenient as possible. Let me just say a little bracket here, and we have
too
trouble.
Much to talk
we
about.
Have two, yeah, go see the movie. It's at the main theater through Thursday. Stealing America, vote by vote.
In Royal Oak,
yeah. And this is a case of the chicken house being guarded by the fox. The Secretary of State was a man named Blackwell in Ohio, and he administered the voting process in Ohio. And he was also the honorary co-chair of the re-elect Bush campaign. This was similar, and I can't even remember the woman.
Catherine Harris.
Yeah, we always knew her as Cruella. but I mean, cruel, but fair, yeah, as Monty Python used to say. But anyways, she was the same thing. She was the Secretary of State, and she was also the active chair of the elect Bush campaign. And this, at a minimum, gives the appearance of unfairness. I mean, if you started talking, let's back to 2000, if you heard about, like, an election in Nigeria and that there was a whole contested election and the candidate's brother was the governor and that the Secretary of State administering the vote was a partisan for the brother's candidacy, well, gee, you would think something was amiss. But anyway, where was I on all that? Oh, yeah. That so we have was it Robert Blackwell? Was that his name?
Kenneth.
Kenneth.
Kenneth Blackwell.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Robert Blackwell, I think, was the mayor of Highland Park a long time ago. But in any event, if nothing else, that it gives the appearance, an unseemly appearance, and something that is where legislation should go. I don't. Has there been after these two debacles? Has there been any legislation that would prevent people from?
I think it's got to be state by state, and that's just another really strong issue here. Is that it's through action within one state that we've got to tighten things up. Actually, I heard Jimmy Carter on the radio before the 2004 election saying that, just apropos what you're saying about J. Kenneth Blackwell in Ohio, he said that if the Carter Center were asked to monitor the election here in America, we wouldn't qualify because they wouldn't monitor an election where things like that can happen.
Hmm.
Where an election official is also clearly partisan working on a campaign. Somebody in the film says it's like you own the team and you're the referee.
Yeah. By the way, you are correct, Sally Castleman, that it is VotePoke, P-O-K-E, VotePoke.org, and you can check whether you're registered or not. And so there was the idea, a couple of things that went on in Ohio, a number of things, actually. So there was the long, long lines in Democratic areas, particularly people of color and student areas, and also there was... we mentioned a couple of, the caging. That is to say the removing eligible people from the voting rolls through a technique which is probably too complicated to talk about here. And then the machines themselves. So we talked a little about the electronic voting machines before. What role did they play in Ohio in 2004?
Oh, huge. Because, and also the counting process. In fact, one of the counties shut down. They said they had a Homeland Security threat. They sent all of the press and all of the citizens out, went into some locked room. And this was a county that was reporting very, very late, that usually reports early. And that was one of the counties that turned the vote to Bush. But they claimed they had a security threat, came out with the numbers that they, quote, needed to make this a Bush win. And there's evidence now that Rove was on... was online with Blackwell and with a computer company in Tennessee during all these late hours in the middle of the night when all of this was going on, and you can connect the dots and see that there were calculations going of what Bush needed to pull out Ohio and then how they could jimmy the machines to come out with those totals. But if there's actually too much to go into with how many ways the machines were corrupted, not just in Ohio, but in many, many states. One of the simple ones that people saw was that they would try to, on a touchscreen device, they would, a black box, a DRE, they would push the button for Kerry and Bush would come up. And they would try over and over and over again. And those were just the ones where you could see it happening. We know that there was vote flipping that wasn't visible to the voter. Oh, another thing that's really dangerous, and I can't remember, I should have checked before I came here whether it's in Michigan, is the straight party ticket. If you're allowed to do that, you have paper ballots here, never mind.
Okay, well, let's this. In fact, no, I don't, well, anyway.
Oh, okay, well.
We've only got about 2.5 minutes left, and I'll tell you, the film that I saw last night, Stealing America Vote by Vote, that's at the main theater in Royal Oak through this Thursday, I started getting really depressed, and I thought, why am I even going to bother to vote? And our guest, Sally Castleman, besides being the chair of the Election Defense Alliance, is also the grassroots outreach coordinator for this film. So you get very depressed, and you say, these guys got us, but there's hope yet.
There is an action site affiliated with the film, and we do need to take control of our elections. We do need to get our elections back in our hands. And this year, there are many, many things, but two things we absolutely need volunteers to help us with on Election Day. One has to do with citizen exit polling, election verification protocol or process, which is on the website. And also, we have to talk this year about protesting. As Peter said, in 2000 we rolled over, and in 2004 we rolled over, and we can't do that this year. And if we have highly suspicious outcomes, which we will partly know if we get enough people to help with this citizen polling in targeted states, then we need to start, groups need to start talking now, groups amongst themselves, about possible protesting and outcomes, saying we demand the truth and we demand an investigation.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us and also visiting your hometown of Detroit. Sally Castleman in town, along with the movie Stealing America, Vote by Vote. It's critical to our democracy, and there is hope. And you can both go to the site of electiondefensealliance.org and also stealingamericathemovie.org. And it's about a way that citizens can get involved. If we just sit back and hope and just hope that others will do it for us, it ain't going to happen. Sally Castleman, thanks for being on the Peter Werby Show.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with another guest right after this.
You waited in line.
Woohoo!
Camped out for days.
Yeah, I got a tent and snacks!
All just to be the first to get the new Apple iPhone 3G.
Yeah!
Which is promptly followed by another million or so iPhone 3G sold online.
Wait, what?
To people who value little things like a comfy bed,
dude,
or daily shower,
dude,
so they don't reek.
You're so crushing my joy, bro!
And hey, you did get it first.
Yeah, chicks are gonna dig that!
Okay, don't push your luck. Look on the bright side. You can put that new iPhone to a really good use. Log on to WRIF.com and you can stream the Riff Live from anywhere in the freaking world on your totally awesome,
yeah,
brand spanking new,
woo-hoo,
Apple iPhone 3G.
Dude, that rocks!
Yeah! Now do us all a favor. Take a shower.
Dude!
On your radio, on your computer, and now on your brand new iPhone 3G. Log on and listen worldwide at WRIF.com. The Riff.
What we're for, a real auto parts store.
Your neighborhood Glendale Auto Supply wants to help get your car or boat ready for the rigors of summer with their Saturday 1010 oil change special. Every Saturday, WRIF listeners can receive a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Offer available 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at all 6 Glendale Auto Supply locations. Just mention you heard this on 101 WRIF and get a premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Find out why over 400 local repair shops choose Glendale Auto Supply when they need parts. Maybe it's time you find out what the pros know. A premium Wix oil filter and up to 4 quarts of Valvoline motor oil for only $10.10. Exclusively for WRIF listeners, Saturdays at Glendale Auto Supply with 6 convenient locations throughout Metro Detroit. Located in Farmington, Livonia, Southfield, Walled Lake, Dearborn Heights, and Lake Orion. Or log on at GlendaleAutoSupply.com.
Your credit card debt is getting out of control. You're having trouble making the monthly minimums. Sound familiar? You have to do something, but what? Well, you don't have to file for bankruptcy. The mortgage brokers want you to put up your family home to pay off credit card debts. Problem is that more often than not, you find yourself using the credit cards again. Only this time there's no equity left in your home, and you have a whole new pile of credit card debt. It doesn't have to be this way. We're Credit Card Relief. We help people just like you get out of debt in months instead of years and save you thousands of dollars. Call now for a free consultation. We're an attorney-driven program with an excellent reputation. The consultation is free, and the relief is real.
Call 1-866-290-8282. 1-866-290-8282. Not available in all states. 1-866-290-8282.
We're back with more Night Call on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's Peter Werby.
Thank you very much for joining me. A pleasure to be with you. When we talk about international commerce, it has a great impact on Michigan, where things are produced, where jobs are going, Walmart, and what impact a big megastore like that has on local economies. But it's all above board. It gets us what we need through formal channels set up by international business, the system of capitalism, and what have you. But there's another world out there, and I suppose it's not unknown to many of you. It's the black market, an unknown world in terms of most of us. There's an incredible book about it. It's called Global Outlaws, Crime, Money, and Power in the Contemporary World. It's written by Carolyn Nordstrom. Carolyn Nordstrom was last with us when we interviewed her about her book, Shadow of War, Violence, Power, and International Profiteering in the 21st Century. And she's also written A Different Kind of War Story and co-editor of Fieldwork Under Fire, Contemporary Studies of Violence and Culture. Carolyn Nordstrom, welcome back to the Peter Werby Show.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You know, it's very interesting. Oh, you know, one of the things that I didn't mention is that you're a professor of anthropology at the University of Notre Dame.
I am.
You are indeed. And then sometimes academics write dry academic books, and they read texts in their ivory towers. And last I remember you, I kind of have visions of you flying into Congo, like hanging off the struts of a plane or something like that.
That would be me. Maybe not hanging off the struts, but close.
Yes. Well, let me just read from the University of California Press, just the first line. It says, Carolyn Nordstrom explores the pathways of global crime in this stunning work of anthropology. Now, people normally don't think of anthropology of having to do with global outlaws and crime and money and power in the contemporary world. It's about native people and ethnographies of what's left of what we haven't brought television sets and lawn chairs to.
Mm-hmm.
How is this anthropology?
I don't know if you remember that much about my work, but really what has launched me on my career is studying war at the front lines. What do people really do on the front lines? And not in the 15-minute sort of, you know, newspaper blurbs or media blurbs, but, you know, going to a place and staying for a year, living, talking, learning the language. And when I began to do this, I realized that most of what I was seeing pass through war zones was this huge I call it extra legal, anything that moves outside the law, whether it's informal, illicit, illegal, whatever. And I began to realize that this was shaping the world's economy to a level that most people didn't realize, because if you don't do first-hand information on the illegal, you're really not going to get a sense of how massive it is and how much of our world depends on it. And if you're not doing field work, you have to rely on either what people are publishing, which often is just about the legal, or, you know, government publications, which, of course, is only the legal. So I thought, well, this is a culture. These are people. We can study them just like we can study anybody. And, hey, it's our world. You know, this is being shaped incredibly by these invisible forces. Time to get in there and figure it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn Nordstrom, where did you travel to? Where did you report from? Who did you study?
I actually had a great deal of luck. I got two wonderful grants, both at Guggenheim and MacArthur, which gave me together 3 years. And I started out in a little village, literally on the front lines, back at the early part of this millennium, in Angola, in Africa, where the war was just devastating. And I picked one little war orphan who was selling a packet, one rumpled packet of Marlboro cigarettes, which had been smuggled in, and he was just trying to get a few pennies to survive. And then I began to chart all the flows that made that possible, which takes you to the next level, blood diamonds for weapons, for smuggled gold. And then you realize, well, on war zones, people have to eat, too. So food's coming in, medicines are coming in, they're smuggling people, they're smuggling fuel. I mean, everything is moving in and out of these war zones across the sort of the boundaries of law. And then I just began to follow these threads globally and went to some of the major shipping centers, Rotterdam, Singapore, Los Angeles, and literally just charted, okay, what's going on in the world? Because these global flows move across war zones and peace zones fluidly without a problem.
Hmm. Your book, Global Outlaws, is dedicated to the war orphan, and that's also your first chapter. Why the dedication?
You know, I think back to that war orphan. It kind of chokes me up when I think about it, because he may or may not be alive today. And yet, without that poor war orphan, you know, because he is on the front lines of starvation as well as war, and exploitation by people who traffic in little kids and things like that. And without the desperation of these people that really are on the front lines of inequality, this whole massive global smuggling system couldn't take place. Because basically, you have to have need before you have smuggling. And some smuggling, and this is the key point of my book, and I love contradictions, and the contradiction is some smuggling is good. There are noble people smuggling pharmaceuticals to the front lines. Excuse me. To bombed out hospitals. And some smuggling is despicable. People who are preying on these little war orphans and selling them into the international sex industry. So this kid really for me became the linchpin of everything. He's completely invisible. He's the most remote part of the world. And yet the system depends on this kind of desperation. So I knew this kid, and he got into my heart.
Mm. The certainly the developed world, although it has its underground economies as well, smuggling and all sorts of crime, and it's probably more prevalent, more important, as you indicated, in countries under stress economically, what we sometimes call the third world countries, the poorer countries, and we usually identify people breaking laws as people we don't like and imagine them to be fairly despicable characters. It occurred to me the way in this country, the way people that have entered the country illegally, the immigrants, are thought of in very, very negative terms. Like they must be awful individuals personally.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find people? Is it a range or are they?
It is such a range. And I have to tell you, in my earlier books on war, I found something very surprising, and that's about 90%, and I say that figure casually a lot, the majority of people on the front lines of war do not turn into despicable Hobbesian dog-eat-dog, you know, sort of rape and steal from your neighbor people. Most people are out there trying to help in the middle of war. So people who are bombed out and shot at, far from popular conception, you know, sort of turning into this raging, you know, whatever, are actually out building schools, trying to get medicines, trying to get clean water, trying to help people. Well, the same thing is true in the smuggling world. Most people who are smuggling are family people who love their kids and have retirement plans and are smuggling Nikes, you know, or Marlboro cigarettes, or food, or things like that. A huge section of it is industrial goods, copper wire, you know, things fuel to people. The problem is the people who are truly despicable, and it is the minority, but the people who are truly despicable will use these same smuggling routes to drop in really dangerous stuff, like uranium.
Hmm.
Like smuggled kids. So, you know, but the whole thing, like with the illegal aliens, I wanted to say is, you know, I have tons of friends as anthropologists who are down on the border with Mexico. And, of course, large businesses who don't want to pay, you know, full rates for wages or for health care, you know, are down busing these people in. I mean, people are coming to this country because they're being asked to come in because people are breaking the law. This is part of the whole global outlaw phenomenon. Is a lot of our businesses, you know, really are profiting from this. And to take the heat off themselves, who would want to stand on the front lines of, you know, media criticism, you know, they try to turn the attention as, oh, the illegal aliens are bad. Well, they're being invited in and they're being paid, you know, a lot less than minimum wage.
Well, also, it occurs to me, they probably have a lot of the characteristics in the case of the people coming up from Mexico and Central America, the traits that Americans admire the most, that of ambition. I mean, NAFTA has destroyed, as you know, so many farming communities, and the ones that are totally dispirited wind up in the shanty towns of Mexico City. Those with the real ambition say, I'm going where the jobs are.
Yeah. And they're being invited because, you know, these are jobs that are tough. They're hard. A lot of Americans won't take them for the pay that's available. And, you know, they're, like I said, they're being invited in. And this is, of course, one of the things that surprised me because I started out mapping these smuggling routes on foot, literally walking with the smugglers, walking with elite security forces, you know, people trying to break the law and people trying to bust those people breaking the law. And, of course, what every single person said is the majority of people who really are smuggling are doing it fairly innocently. They're legal businesses who are bringing in people or goods that they just don't want to pay full duty on.
Mm-hmm. Now, is I'm trying to remember my sociology or anthropology. Isn't the word for, like, crime, there's a phrase for it, that it's people that are denied the normal channels.
Yes.
Can you help me on this word?
You know, there's a lot written on it now, and I'm not certain which phrase you're thinking of.
Well, if you're poor, mm-hmm. and you're in an American city, and mm-hmm. you can't get into the innovation, that's what it is.
Excellent.
You innovate because you can't get into the mainstream of business or commerce,
yes.
So you sell drugs.
You know, and I have to say two quick things about that. The first one is I had a great interview with the detectives at Scotland Yard, actually and also with Customs in the United States. And what they basically said is the innovations in business do take place illegally because once you sort of get institutionalized, it's hard to change quickly. So the newest changes are burbling up illegally. This is neither good nor bad. It's just true. Well, I mean, it can be good or bad, but, you know, Scotland Yard said this is a fact we have to deal with. And the second thing is I teach at a very conservative university, and my students are very, very law-abiding. But every single one in the classes I teach on crime and corruption say, I finally get it. If I were in this position, if I were that poor, I understand what they're doing. You have to feed your family.
Yep.
And it may be wrong to sell drugs, but it's even more wrong to watch your kids starve to death.
Yeah. Carolyn Nordstrom is my guest on the Peter Werbe Show. She teaches anthropology at the University of Notre Dame. She's the author of Global Outlaws, Crime, Money, and Power in the Contemporary World. It's published by University of California Press. We're not going as you did for this book all around the world, but maybe just tell us, how does the war orphan in Angola get a pack of Marlboros to sell? What's the whole route here, and how does it wind up with enough for a young man or woman to make money on?
Well, it's a great story. Excuse me. Okay. I actually asked the war orphan. This is how the whole thing started. I was sitting talking with him one day, watching him sell these cigarettes. I'm like, well, where do you get these? So he takes me to a shop owner, and the shop owner's on the front lines of the war, and he's responsible for bringing the goods in that make his community survive. Well, who in the world is going to take Angolan Kwanzaa for antibiotics, for fuel, for, you know, industrial parts? Nobody in the world is going to take that. They want something valuable. They want diamonds or timber or seafood or anything that will translate into dollars or marks or yen or strong international currency. So this guy has to be in a position where if he's going to bring in goods for his community, he's got to have a hard currency, good, hard, strong international currency to buy it. So he's flogging weapons or he's flogging diamonds or, you know, this guy actually was a pretty good guy. He didn't flog people. He didn't do real despicable stuff. He really cared about his community. He then links in with a series of real elites in the country who control sort of the access to major international airlines and major international shipping companies who bring things in and out of the country. Well, tax laws are so heavy duty in most places and so confusing that most people all over the world break the law in some way when it comes to customs. So this is technically called smuggling, though most people don't call it anything because it's pretty much business as usual. Most of the commodities in our life break the law in some way, just because it's too hard to pay for everything that every law in the book has. So these big-time players are the ones that control the sort of massive oil deals, some of which are done above board and some of which are done, you know, underground. They control major contracts with international businesses, again, some of which is above ground, some of which is extra legal. And then the players around the world, and these now move into two different groups of people, criminal organizations, who are moving heavy-duty hard stuff like drugs or, you know, smuggled people or, you know, whatever. But that's the smaller part of it. The bigger part are normal businesses who sell their goods all over the world. And a place like Angola, and there's, you know, scores of places like this around the world, which are devastated by war or poverty or, you know, natural disaster, don't have businesses. They want industrial goods, and we want to sell them. Anywhere in the world that's got an industrial center in the peacetime wants to sell to those places because they need constantly. So big businesses then are linking in with these people in places like Angola, and sort of with a wink and a nod, while never formally too much speaking about it, recognize that all the goods they're sending, refrigerators. I mean, not just bad stuff, but, you know, technology and just the stuff of daily life, foodstuffs, water purification systems, computer systems, communication systems are moving back and forth across the law. And I interviewed, hundreds of people over these 3 years on all sides of the law and talked to some real top dogs in some big multinational corporations, oil companies, major multinationals, talked to like the chief financial officers, and they would all say, you know, we don't ask what goes on down the line. You know, we kind of know that the only way for people to get stuff done is to get out there and recognize this whole system. The war orphans need, the shop owners needs, the sort of elite of those countries needs, and what we can do to link in with that. But by the time it gets to our books, it's kind of cleaned out because along the way, the middlemen just make it work. So it's a huge global system that virtually everybody in one way or another is touched by, and yet we don't really document. Because if we did, we'd sort of have to look at a world where, wow, you know, okay, our economy really is both formal and informal simultaneously.
Well, it would seem that interviewing the elites, they're there, they have offices, you can make appointments with them. But when you went to the more ragged edge of it, the more dangerous countries, that how were you able to link up, say, with smugglers or people that were doing things that were illegal? And when they saw you, an American woman, a professor from the United States, what was their reaction? And well, I mean, first off, I mean, how did you even make contact with them? And then when you did, what was their reaction?
Well, first I want to say, don't try this at home, girls and boys.
Yeah.
I mean, I have 20 years of working on the front lines of wars. I mean, I'm really, you know, pretty comfortable in the field. But the second thing is that with some good training, it's actually not that hard because, a place like Angola, the majority of the economy is going to move back and forth across the law because they need to. People on the front lines need antibiotics. People need fuel, and they can't get it, and they will do what it takes to get it. In fact, I have a chapter in this book about some really despicable, horrible sort of extra-legal smuggling. And then I have a chapter by a group of women whose legs and arms have been blown off by landmines and how they band together and begin to bring in necessities to develop their community and make lives for themselves. And they're selling food, you know, and charcoal to help other people like themselves. And so you've got these twin sort of, you know, both positive and negative kinds of illegalities going on. But the one thing when you think about this, all right, you're out in a war zone. People are doing this daily to survive. One of the keys is people don't get up in the morning and go like, oh, I'm a despicable smuggler. No, no, no. People get up in the morning and go like, hi, you know, I'm a good guy or a good gal, and I like what I do, and you want to meet my kids. And so if you're there and you're respectable, you're respectful, you go to talk to them and sit with them, people pretty much will tell you about their world. And the last thing I want to say, which blew me away, one of the most remote places I was, border town in the middle of nowhere, where a whole bunch of illegal stuff is flowing across a border between several countries.
This is Angola?
It's on a border with Angola. I'm not going to tell you what the other country is.
Oh, okay.
Just for protection, and you'll see why.
Okay.
I'm actually in the other country. I'm on the other side of the border.
Okay.
And I get to this country about, I mean, get to this border post. I mean, really, you couldn't get any farther away, probably in the known universe. And I drive into this ramshackle place. The only place in town to stay is this sort of pool hall beer joint with a couple rooms. I go in at 10 o'clock at night, and I say, hi, I'm Carolyn. No identity papers. I don't give them anything. I don't even give my last name. And then I went out, grabbed some dinner, and came back in. I was talking to the owner of the quote-unquote hotel. And he says to me with a laugh, I was born the same year you were, Carolyn. And I realized that at this point, now it's midnight, in 2 hours, this man in the middle of nowhere had been able to get Satlink internet service, track me down, find out who I was, with no last name or identity papers or anything, find out the year I was born, and read some of my work to realize that I didn't reveal sources. I was very protective of the people who had talked to me. And so he said, hey, I'll talk with you. Wow. So part of it is also having a reputation.
That's good. Because if you said to me, hey, why don't you come along with me? I'd say, you know, I would have two worries. One, that I would be at some place where something I had nothing to do with would wind up exploding in my face. That is, you know, like a drug war. Or that I would wind up, they'd say, you know, we'll return Peter Werby for $5,000. I mean, did you have those fears? And was there ever a time you were in jeopardy?
No. And well, maybe there was, but I might have been oblivious to it. The strangest thing is, and I don't understand this, for 20 years I have gone to the front lines of some of the world's worst wars. And I'm actually literally writing a piece today that I'm finishing up where I start out by saying, you know, for 20 years now I've gone off to, I mean, really tough, horrible frontline situations. And everybody, my family, my friends, everybody says, oh, great, drop us a postcard. and now when I say, you know, I'm going to go out and study smuggling, everyone's like, oh, my God, you're going to get killed. And I thought, what is going on here? Why are we so fearful of this world? And I think, I'm not certain, but I think we have been taught to be more fearful of the criminal world or the smuggling world or the extra-legal world because it is so basic to the way business is done that if people actually go out and investigate it, we are facing a huge conundrum. And let me just give you an example. All the money that people are making extra-legally has to be laundered or else it's useless.
Yeah.
So all that money is going into stock markets and banks and through all kinds of major industrial enterprises. Well, when you're really successful and you are moving hundreds of billions of dollars, you can shape those stock markets. You can shape interest rates. You can shape currency exchange valuations because you have that amount of money, and it's all invisible. It's all unrecorded. So my retirement funds, health, is in part shaped by finances that are unrecorded, in other words, extra legal, that we can't track and we can't monitor. So we have, you know, stock market crashes are often linked to these kinds of extra legal laundering flows.
Right.
But we don't know how to study them. And the people who manage these systems are not despicable criminals. These are people who have, over the years, you know, put the money into legitimate businesses. Oftentimes they're very respectable people globally, you know, with a string of international businesses because they've laundered these. They own banks so they can launder their own money. And, you know, if we start to scratch the surface of this, we have the big question, okay, now what do we do? So I think we make it very scary. And if, in fact, I interviewed one of the world's largest drug smugglers who is supposed to be retired now. And he said to me, his name is Howard Marks. I have a chapter in my book by Howard Marks. He's Welsh. And he said, honestly, Carolyn, he said, I feel safer in the criminal world than I do in the legal world. He said, we actually have so many rules and so much backup because we have to. And he said, there's actually less violence in his, now, of course, the people who are impoverished, like the war orphan who are being sold in as child labor, they're getting hurt. But the big-time players, for the most part, want to make money. They don't want, you know, you get shot, you shoot someone else, you got a big war going on. It just interrupts your business. That's dumb, as far as they're concerned.
Well, Carolyn Nordstrom, just a few minutes left. Anthropologists, and I know there's always a big debate within the discipline about this, about how one looks at this, the gaze or the kind of built-in perspective of the person doing the observation brings to it. But ultimately, they're supposed to be just the reporting. Normally, when people would look at crime, money, and power in the contemporary world, there would be the sense that this or that has to be reformed. Is there, in fact, in some ways it seems irreformable. It seems just like an adjunct of the formal business capitalist system. Do you suggest that there ought to be alterations made here?
I do, but in a very unusual way. I am a scientist, and what I set out to do is document, and I tell lots of individual stories of smugglers and security forces so that people can draw their own conclusions. The biggest suggestion I really stand by is that we have to be honest in our system. Our economic system has to begin looking at these things. Our governments, our, you know, reporting agencies have to start dealing with these facts. I traveled as a commodity for a couple weeks on a freighter, and there really is no security. For all the terrorist, you know, hysteria about, oh, we have all the security, nothing is open or closed at ports. And largely because the whole economic system is set up where we don't have time to stop anything, and we really don't want to look into the containers and the cargo ships because so much of it is everyday goods that companies are making a small profit on because they're just kind of breaking the law and reporting. Well, that's dangerous. So what I really do recommend is that we take off our blinders as people and begin being really honest about the world in which we live so that we can come up with solutions that are healthy.
Well, you know, if you think about it, some of the what's done, for instance, when the smuggling of cigarettes, which you talk about, we have about 30 seconds or so. Most people would buy cigarettes if they thought the tax was too high. They don't want to pay $6 a pack for their habit, right?
Exactly.
On the other hand, we're all aghast at the smuggling of children, the smuggling of sex workers. Sorting that out seems to be an incredible task.
You know, that's what I put this book out for, to show that it's not that hard. We can do it.
Well, let's leave it at that, because we're out of time. It's an incredible book, just like the last one we interviewed Carolyn Nordstrom about, The Shadows of War. This one is called Global Outlaws, Crime, Money, and Power in the Contemporary World. It's published by the University of California Press. You can go to ucpress.edu, or I'll have a link on my site, Peter Werbe, W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com. Carolyn Nordstrom. Oh, one more sentence. What's the next book? Where are you going to be off to?
You know what? I want to try my hand at a novel so that people can read this and actually kick back with a good story and still get all these points. So I'm trying to write a good smuggling novel just as a small break from academia.
All right. We'll do it. Thank you, Carolyn Nordstrom.
Thank you for listening to Night Call on 101 WRIF. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WRIF Radio. Now, stay tuned for more Rip Rock on 101 WRIF Detroit. Kick off your Labor Day festivities in style as you and your closest friends party with WRIF Live. from your backyard with an acoustic performance from Saving Able. Keep it locked on the Rift to win tickets for Saving Able. August 28th, the Clutch Cargoes. Then, you and your friends could catch Saving Able before they rock Clutch Cargoes in a private, intimate setting of, your place.
We'll even bring the Hooters girls and some wings to get the party started.
The Backyard Brouhaha with Saving Able from Mobile One,
a T-Mobile exclusive dealer. For the location nearest you, go to mymobile1.com
and 101 WRIF.
Cameron Cunningham.
This is my car.
My car?
I don't know how I lived without it.
Muscle car fanatics. Join the Rift Cyber Crew for free today at WRIF.com and get signed up for the Rift Muscle Car Club. Get special invitations for upcoming WRIF Muscle Car Club events
with a chance to win best in show, best paint, best engine, and best interior.
One lucky Rift Muscle Car Club member will be front and center with a Rift at the 2009 Autorama. Sign up now with the Rift Cyber Crew at WRIF.com. It's totally free. The WRIF Muscle Car Club.
Brought to you by Glendale Auto Supply. Shop a real auto parts store
at 101.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized the contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code Cisco to get a free trial and a free webcam too. Remember that code, Cisco, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code Cisco, WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Do you owe the IRS $15,000 or more in back taxes? Are you worried about wage garnishments, bank levies, and IRS seizures? Call American Tax Relief. If you qualify, now you could settle your tax debts for less than you owe. Just call 800-493-8159. American Tax Relief has helped thousands of honest, hardworking Americans settle their tax debts for less, stop garnishments and levies, and remove penalties and interest. Their staff of experts will work hard to get you the best possible settlement you qualify for. With experienced, knowledgeable professionals on your side, you can save money as well as time and stress. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 800-493-8159. American Tax Relief can help you get the fresh start you're looking for. Call right now. 800-493-8159. That's 800-493-8159.
In 6 days, the 2008 Detroit Belle Isle Grand Prix, presented by Firestone. Catch all the race action live this Sunday starting at 3 p.m. on 101 WRIF and WRIF HD1 Detroit. The